జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయశరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిని ప్రభుపాదికి జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిని ప్రభుపాదికి అనందమూడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ ద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమంది All glories to Assembly devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Shrimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయమత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధ గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్ వసుదేవ సుతం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణదడాజేద్రదజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వథామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరిగద సంబోధన బోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర హప్యమీయమానం ఉదా భూయాద్ భారత మంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యై స్థవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమౌపనిషదై గాయంతియం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాం తం నవిదసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఫోర్త్ వర్స్ ఋషిభిర్ బహుధా గీతం ఛందోభిర్ వివిధై పృథక్ బ్రహ్మసూత్రపదైశ్చైవ హేతుమద్భిర్ వినిశ్చితై. దేన్ ఋషీస్ గ్రేట్ ఋషీస్ లైక్ వశిష్ఠ అండ్ అదర్స్ దే హ్యావ్ స్పోకన్ అబౌట్ క్షేత్ర క్షేత్రజ్ఞ ఇన్ ది డిఫరెంట్ ఛందస్ in the Vedam, it comes about Kshetram and Kshetraja, it's spoken. Krishabhi Vasishtadibhi Bahudha Bahuprakaram Gidam Kathidam Chandobhi Chandamsi Rigadinitai Chandobhi Nana Prakare Vividhai Prasak Vivekato Gidam. He said, then he's saying there that out of the 555 sutrams in the Brahma Sutram, so many topics are covered in that, everything in a very rational way and in a logical way. Hedu with cause and effect, particularly the body, the mind and the soul. Shariram, Manasa, Atma. And Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Brahma Sutram, keeping this thing what Krishna is saying here, that this was in his mind. It says here, Atmanyevo Upasidam, a verse from Brihadaranya Upanishad quoted here. Ityadi vihi Brahma Sutra padai Atma Yayade, Hedu Madhi Yukti Yukte Vinishide, Na Samshe Rupa Nishidam, Pratyot Padai Ityataha. So, speaking about Brahman, and those words or Padam that leads to Brahman, they are called Brahma Sutra Padam. Padam means those words in the sutrams which leads to Brahman, which gives an explanation of the Brahman. So, this Atmanyeva Upasida, that sutram, which is in the Vedanta Sutram, which is also in the Brihadaranya Upanishad, it's quoted, Acharya Swamiji has quoted that in this Bhashyam, in his commentary, right? So, why is Krishna saying all these things to us? The reason behind that is, right, in order to turn our attention towards this Shastram, what Krishna is going to talk about. It's a different Shastram, not like the material science. Material science, you see, you just have to read a few Upanishads, you will know how hollow material science is. Like we have the discussion between Nachiketas and Yama in Kathopanishad, where Yama takes Nachiketas step by step to the reality. He makes it clear to Nachiketas that what is Shreyasa, what is Prayasa. So the Rishi's method is like that. They are trying to open up things inside us to make us aware that there is a higher reality existing behind everything. In the same way, Bhrigu Maharshi goes to Varuna and inquires from Varuna about the truth. So that is when in Taittiriya Upanishad, Varuna talks to Bhrigu about different levels of different planes of existence and begins with Annamayam, then Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. They are all different levels of existence of a Jiva. Jiva exists in all these different planes. Out of that, the lowest plane means the gross, most gross plane is Annamayam. And this Annamayam is where our modern science is. So imagine where modern science is and where the Rishis are. Rishis are saying to us, this Annamayam level is the lowest level, which is the most gross form. Annamayam means the food, this gross body, in other words. Everything based on the body, right? No understanding of anything other than that, apart from the body. So, it is like that, and that is what Krishna is trying to make us aware, that the Rishi's method of thinking is different. It's not like the modern scientists think. Some modern science is very much based on this gross body, everything. They have not even transcended the Annamayam. What to talk about Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. So many different levels of existence, we will be discussing that when we discuss that Karma Sannyasa Yogam. How Krishna talks about that in depth to understand the difference between different levels of existence. So when a jiva is moving towards self-realization, he has to go through all these different levels of existence before he comes to the Anandamayam. Once he comes to Anandamayam, there is no more further inquiry after that. He has realized the truth and he is settled down there. He's not asking any more further questions. So what happened to Bhrigu was, Bhrigu goes to Varuna and Bhrigu wants to know the truth. So Varuna says to him, Varuna is his father, Bhrigu's father. Varuna says to Bhrigu, you go to the forest, perform penances with keeping this body as your reality. The body is what you know now. That's all what your understanding is. So keeping the body and perform penances there and you will get realization from that. With that penances, Bhrigu realized that this Annamaya Kosham, that this gross body made of five material elements, and he comes back to Varuna and says to him, this is what I have realized. Varuna says to Bhrigu, go back again to the forest, drill further down, go inward further down, deep down, deeper, much deeper than the Annamayam level, then you will see how something higher, he said. So he performs penances in the forest for many, many years, and then he realized that this Annamaya body is controlled by something else. What is keeping this body going like this? Because Annamayam will get destroyed one day. Annamayam won't stay forever. So that means, what is that kept it going all this time? And then he comes to realize Pranamaya Kosham. So then he comes back and says to Bhrigu, Bhrigu says to Varuna, that I have realized that Pranamaya Kosham exists. So Varuna says to Bhrigu, that's not the end of the story, he said. Go back again to the forest, think for, go deeper and deeper, deeper, more deeper and deeper. And then Bhrigu performs penances for a long time in the forest. And then he comes back and says to Varuna again about Manomaya Kosham, that he realizes that mind is above pranan. And pranan is a force in between the mind and this Annamaya Kosham. And then he goes back again and reports to Varuna. Bhrigu says to Varuna that there is this thing called mind, which is more subtle than the pranan. And I realize that mind is controlling everything. Varuna says to Bhrigu, no. Manomaya Kosham is only in the middle somewhere. Go back to the forest again and go deeper inside. So like this, deeper, 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 further and further in their tapasya, what Bhrigu was performing. They are all great rishis, used to performing very severe penances in the forest. And such deep inward looking nature they have, inside, deep inside. And then he comes back and talks about Vijnanamaya Kosham, intelligence, he talks about. Bhrigu says to Varuna about intelligence. Varuna says to Bhrigu, no, intelligence is not the end, he says. Go back further. Sends him back to forest again. Again he performs penances there. And then he comes back and then he talks about Anandamaya Kosham. And when Anandamaya Kosham, Varuna asked to Bhrigu, what do you find the difference now? He says, I don't want to know anything else, he said. That's how Taittiriya Upanishad finishes this discussion between Bhrigu and Varuna. Just like Nachiketas and Yama discussed in the Kathopanishad, this discussion between Bhrigu and Varuna, Bhrigu's enlightenment by Varuna's instructions and Bhrigu getting enlightened at the end, that discussion is all about this, what Krishna is going to talk about now. Krishna is saying to us, this body as it is, what you are taking it so seriously, is the lowest level of existence. And if you, based on this body, you build all your knowledge, you are in a very disappointing state it is. Huh? That means you don't know anything about the reality. All you know is this body. What good is it, he says. So, that's the next verse. You can see what Krishna is saying there. Trying to explain to us that, first of all, he says that he's talking about the body itself first. He talks about the body, right? And that is that next verse says, Mahabhudani ahangaram buddhi avyaktam eva cha indriyani deshaikam cha panjajendriya gocharaha. Right? First of all, he says that this kshetram, what Krishna is talking about, that is this body, it's a prison house, Krishna says. It's a prison house for us. Right? Jail, you can say here. Yeah. And from this prison house, except through the Vedic knowledge, Vedandam, it is not possible to come out of this prison house in this body. Body is come from Shastram, from Krishna's point of view, it's a prison. You are locked up in this prison, not able to get out of it. And his point is that without this Vedantam knowledge, it is impossible to come out of that. And what is there in this kshetram? Mahabhudani ahangaram. Right? Mahabhudani ahangaram. Mahabhudani means the five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether, fire. Yeah? महाभूतानि महान्ति च तानि सर्वविकार व्यापकत्वात् भूतानि च सूक्ष्माणि स्थूलानि तु इन्द्रिय गोचर शब्देन अभिधायिष्यन्ते. एंड महाभूतम् पंचमहाभूतम् इट इज इट्स मूल स्वरूप. मूल स्वरूप मीन्स द ओरिजिन ऑफ एवरीथिंग, राइट? इन अदर वर्ड्स समष्टि फॉर्म. It is from these five material elements the creation has come, right? So the five material elements is the root of everything, the world as well as our body. Our body has also come from the five material elements, and the world has also come from the five material elements, which is difficult to explain it further, because in its most subtle form it is these five material elements. So ahangaro. He says, Ahangaram Mahabhuta Karanam Aham Pratyaya Lakshanam Ahangara Karanam Buddhi Adhyavasaya Lakshanam Tal Karanam Avyaktam Evacha Navyaktam Avyaktam Avyakritam Ishwara Shakti Mama Maya Durateya Idi Uktam. So this Aham, what we call it as Aham, that how does this creation happens? Upanishad says that Akashad Vayu, Vayor Agni, Agni Apa, in this way. First from, it comes from Akasham, space, from that comes air, from air comes fire, and fire comes water, from water comes the Prithvi, earth. Right? So first thing was Akasham, the space, right? And then there was a movement in the space, and with the result was Vayu has come. Then when movement happened in the Vayu, then came Agni, fire, from Agni, water, and from water, earth, right? And from earth came Aushadhi, all the grains and vegetables and everything. And then Aushadhi became Annam. And Annam sustains this body. For living entities were able to live in this world because of the presence of Annam. Then the four different ways living entities came out: Swedajam, Udbijam, Jarayajam, Andajam. This is spoken in the different ways of creation, right? So Swedajam is that comes from the sweat. Then from eggs when it comes out, Andajam. And then from the earth, when it comes out, it is Udbijam. And then when you come through the mother's womb, Jarayujam. Swedajam, Andajam, Udbijam, Jarayujam. In these four ways, right? So, these are all the starting point. And then Panchabhudam, the five material elements, which causes to the process called Panchikaranam. That's the word. And these only five material elements exist here in a different forms. Anything, if you take the table or the mic or the bottle or the flask, whatever it is, everything is these five material elements, right? And in my body also, there's only these five material elements, right? And in your body also, the same thing, right? So, Panchabhudam, the five material elements, its combination, and the way it synthesizes, it's called Panchikaranam. So, without these five things, nothing else exists here. Then comes Krishna is talking about Mahabhudani Ahangaram. Ahangaram is spoken here. You see that? Ahangaram. So, Ahangaram is two levels. Samashti Ahangaram. Total Ahangaram existing here. Right? And that is the Samashti. In Veshti form, in each of us, I am, that feeling. That understanding, me, an individual, aham, that feeling, right? So, in other words, when I say that I am seeing this, I heard that, I am smelling this, or I am tasting that, when you say all that, that I you are referring to, that is the Veshti Ahangaram. Samashti Ahangaram is the overall presence of Ahangaram in the creation, right? So then this Krishna says, Mahabhudani Ahangaram then buddhi. Buddhi avyaktam eva cha. So, when we experience each one of our through senses, different things in this world, every time when you experience in your own individual experience, able to say that, I'm tasting this, I'm smelling this, I'm seeing this, I'm hearing this. That way able to sense things like that, that's buddhi. That's what Krishna is saying here. Mahabhutam, ahankaram, then buddhi. So, when they all combined together, you see how Krishna sees the body? Krishna is not seeing the body like the way we see the body. Krishna is saying that all these material elements are there, then about that, beyond them that this ahankaram is there, then you have got the buddhi, and then they all come together from avyaktam, he said. Buddhi avyaktam eva cha, right? All these things combined together is called avyaktam. And what we experience in that sleep, when we sleep, right? That stage is avyaktam. When you are in the sleep state, when you are sleeping, that stage is called avyaktam. Krishna calls it as avyaktam, right? That means it is the unmanifested state. When you wake up, everything manifests again. Intelligence comes out, ahankaram comes, and you become conscious of this material elements, of this five material elements called this body. So, unmanifested state is that sleep state, right? And then, so when buddhi, ahankaram and mahapanchabhutam, when they are all in the dissolved state, that's what is actually called sleep. You see how Krishna says to sleep, what sleep means? Sleep means that the buddhi, ahankaram and the panchabhutam, which is this gross body, its existence is not there anymore. Avyaktam. And dissolved state. And that is called the sleep. That's called sleep, right? So, mano, buddhi, ahankaram, all these things. So that's what he is talking about here, that indriyani dasha shrotradini panja buddhi ulpadagatvat buddhi indriyani vak panyadini panja karma nivartagatvat karmendriyani tai dasha ekamcha kimtadmane ekadasham sagala vadhyatmakam chaturvimshati tattvani achakshade. The 24 things what spoken in the Sankhyam, Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam, same thing is spoken here, which is five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, 10. Then the mind, 11. And then five tanmatras, which is the subtle form of the material elements. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. They are the tanmatras of earth, water, air, ether, fire. Right? You know how they to connect them, isn't it? We have discussed so many times. Five material elements and five tanmatras. Tanmatras are the subtle form of these five material elements. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form are the subtle form of earth, water, air, ether, fire. So those five. And then Ashtada Pragati, what Krishna has spoken before, Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam, all of them together, he's saying here that these 24 elements, 24, which Sankhyam talks about, right? So, Ajari Swamiji mentions here that Atha idanim alma gunam iti yan achakshade vaisheshikate abhi kshetra dharmam eva nado kshetrajnyasa iti aha bhagavan. Vaisheshikas also talk about these things. They also study the body in the same way. And they are saying that this belongs to the soul, atma. But Krishna is saying here, they are not belonging to Kshetrajna, it belongs to Kshetram. That's the way he mentions there. So, you can see here that, then Krishna says, after that, yeah. So you see how Krishna talks about the body so different than the way we think about the body. Krishna is saying, body means all these things together, not only your gross body, what you are seeing with your eyes. That's not the body, he says. Body means to understand that you have to take into account all these things. Which one? Mahabhudani, അഹങ്കാരം, ബുദ്ധി അവ്യക്തം, ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി ദിശൈകംശ പഞ്ചജേന്ദ്രിയ ഗോചര പ്ലസ് ഹി സേസ് ഇച്ഛാ ദ്വേഷ സുഖം ദുഃഖം സംഘാത ചേതനാധൃതി ഏതൽ ക്ഷേത്രം സമാസേന സവികാരം ഉദാഹൃതം. ഇഫ് യു ബ്രിങ് ദീസ് ഫിഫ്ത് ആൻഡ് സിക്സ് വേർഡ്സ് ടുഗദർ, ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ ബോഡ്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് യു, ദ ബോഡ് ഇൻ ക്ഷേത്രം. ക്ഷേത്രം ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ക്ഷേത്രം. ഇച്ഛ, ദ്വേഷം, സുഖം, ദുഃഖം, ആൻഡ് ദിസ് കോമ്പിനേഷൻ ഓഫ് സെൻസസ് ആൻഡ് ദി ബോഡി, ആൻഡ് ചേതന, ധൈര്യം, ഓൾ ദീസ് വികാരം ഇൻസൈഡ്, ദിസ് ഓൾ കംബൈൻഡ് ടുഗദർ ഈസ് ക്ഷേത്രം. ഹി സേസ് ഇച്ഛാ യജ്ജാതീയം സുഖഹേതം അർത്ഥം. Now, what it means is, he is saying that the 10 senses, 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action, and then sense objects, eye has its way of reporting the object, the ear reports in a different way. So the 5 senses reports in a different way. Apart from all that, he says, Icha. Icha means desire, or what we call as kamam. And it is this thing called Icha, or desire, is that force that is pushing us in life to go on day after day after day. This power inside us called Icha, Icha Shakti. Ichashakti is a very powerful thing. If Ichashakti was not there, we won't have a desire to live in this world. Every day you get up and you want to do so many things. Why? There's a force inside that's called Icha. Ichashakti, right? In the Lala Sasam, we say, Ichashakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. Shri Bhagavati is addressed like that. Ichashakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. All these things combined together, it's your Surupa, your nature. Right? So, Ichashakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubiniye Namaha. That is how it is addressed in the Lilasa Sam. In all these 3 Surupam, who is present in front of us, I offer my obeisances to her. Right? So then there is a movement inside that movement happens inside us, that's called a desire for things, right? And so what we call material existence, when we suffer, when we enjoy, this is material existence, day after day after day, sukham dukham happens one after the other, right? All this is managed by this Icha Shakti from inside. Icha, desire, right? So, how it works within us is, this what Krishna calls this Icha. Icha means that in life I want to be happy. That means things should come favorably the way I think. It should be favorable to me. I want things to happen in a way I like it, in that way, right? And the reason why our ego doesn't die is because of this Icha Shakti. Icha is causing this problem that continuously it's saying to us from inside, this is unknown to us, isn't it? We are not even conscious of that. That Icha Shakti is telling me, I want life to be in this particular way. These things should happen to me. And this is the way I like to live. So every time some desire inside is forcing us to accept things in that way, that is Icha Shakti. So that Icha is the one which is running up, managing our life. And depending upon that Icha Shakti, your Sukham Dukham will be there in life. Things happen in life. And if it has happened according to your Icha, according to your desire, then you will be happy. And if it happened not according to your desire, you will be in distress. That's a connection between Icha and Sukham Dukham. And Everything should come favorably for us, that desire inside, right? So this desire is responsible for the ahankaram staying within us, right? Everything should come favorably, what way we think it should happen. You can call it in another way, in a gross level, ambition, right? Ambition is that everything should happen the way I want it to happen, right? So if things happen not according to your ambition or according to your desire, on the other hand, opposite to that, then comes dvesham. Icha, dvesham, sukham, dukkham. Right? And you are feeling inside that this shouldn't have happened the way it has happened. Right? And if you get something based on your desire, then sukham. And suppose you went to some competition or examination and you got more than what you expected in the results, then sukham, feeling happy, right? And then you went for a job interview, so many jobs available at that time maybe, and then you applied and you got the one what you wanted really, then you feeling happiness inside, sukham, right? And then you wanted to get married, you got married to the right person whom you want in your dream, whatever you thought is ideal, and you got married to that right person, agreeable and able to get on very well. Then, and marriage happened in that way, sukham. Then, according to your desire, you wanted a child, and a child born, and the child is also favorable, and all these things happen, then feeling sukham, right? And similarly, when you get sick, you got the treatment done, and you got free from the disease, sukham. So this is how our sukham is in this world, right? And suppose none of this happened the way you wanted it to happen, dukkham. So icha, dvesham, sukham, dukkham. And where does it all happening? Where is this all happening? That happens, Krishna says, sankhatam. That is sankhatam. Sankhatam means that all these things combine together. So you see, Krishna is saying to us that this body is the most amazing thing, difficult to understand from Shastram point of view. Bhagavad Gita is telling us, don't study the soul separately from the body. You have to know the body very well to understand the soul, or to get feel for the soul, right? How the soul works. Because this sankhatam means this combination of all these things, right? So, so shariram or body is a combination of all these things. Which one? The gross body material, then this icha, dvesham, sukham, dukkham, samkhatam, and then what he mentioned before, mahabhudam, ahangaram, buddhi, all these things, indriyani, dashagocharam, all these things, right? Indriyani, dishayagamja, panchajendriya gocharam, all these things combined together. The one force that is keeping it all together is ahangaram. Ahangaram is the one force which is all subtle, is it not? Which is all subtle. So Krishna says, you don't take any of this into account. Simply think this gross body is everything. What kind of understanding have you got, he says. If you are thinking that only this gross body, what you see with your eyes, and you are treating this body when it gets sick and thinking that everything will be cured. No, it won't. Krishna says so. There are so many things to talk about this topic, because Bhagavad Gita is opening up a completely different understanding of the body. We have to completely forget about our original understanding, what we got from the school and colleges and the science, right? So he's saying that this ahangaram is the pillar on which this whole thing is tied to. It is in the Bhagavatam Ekadasham also. Krishna will say, ahangarasya drishyante, he says. Ahangaram is the one that is holding it together, all these things together, right? So, and then Ahankaram is the center, you can say. It's the center, right? And keeping, because of this Ahankaram there, that's why these desires coming, I want certain things the way I want it, right? And behind that there is prana, prana shakti is there. And sometimes you feel energetic, and sometimes you feel very drained out, is it not? You can see when you get older, it is much more clearer. Some days are okay, some days totally down. Right? So and sometimes you feel enthusiastic to do things, and some other time no energy and no enthusiasm to do anything, right? And if you observe yourself, you can see this. Actually, this body is a gift to study a lot of things. Your own body, right? You observe your own body, your own mind, and see how it is getting affected. But unfortunately, we don't have time. We are so busy with the mind. Mind will dictate something and you keep on doing things. But if you quietly sit down and think, you can see that without any particular reason, your mind gets disturbed. Particularly, you're just sitting quietly there. Suddenly some thoughts come and the mind gets very disturbed, right? And sometimes you also see you feeling a bit happy inside, pleasant. You feel pleasant inside, right? So this whole thing together, the mind with its happiness mood and the disturbed mood, all these things is called a chetana. Sanghatas chetana dhruti, he says. That chetana means that, right? That means without your knowledge, without your own knowledge, thoughts comes in and keeps everything in a very disturbed state. You start worrying about so many things, anxiety about future, fear, all these things comes. Without your knowledge it comes. What will happen to somebody who is very close to you? What will happen to the job? What will happen to the money? What will happen to so many things? That fear, anxiety and all comes and disturbs your mind altogether. And some other time, such thoughts don't come. Looks everything very good. You are able to stay in a peaceful state. Mind is without any thought waves. No thoughts, emotions coming and disturbing you. And you feel some peace inside without doing anything. Isn't it? Without doing anything. That's what is called the chetana. Sanghatam. Sanghata chetana dhruti is saying here. Right? So, all these things combined together is called a chetana. Dhriti means, Krishna is saying, before he concludes, he said, Sanghadas Chedana Dhriti. Dhriti means, many things what you have to do in life, what you want to do in life, right? You are holding on to them and remembering them and experiencing them, and you are also keeping your life in a certain level, a certain field, a certain state, right? Able to controlling your senses, and certain things you want to do, even if the thoughts comes, you are able to restrict yourself. You feel that it should not be done. Thoughts like that. For example, suppose you had a argument with the boss in the office, and then you wanted to say to him something, but then you control yourself, didn't want to rock the boat, so you control yourself and kept out of it, right? So who controlled that? That is called a dhriti. Dhriti means that from inside a force that is controlling all your interactions with the world outside, right? And tells you that you can do these things, you shouldn't do these things, right? And at the same time you see your child, son or daughter is misbehaving, and you smack him once or twice, right? So all these are dhriti, it is, that making decisions. Certain things you do, certain things you don't, physically or verbally also. Sometimes you want to say something, but you control your tongue. You didn't want to say it to upset the people. So that way, able to control the tongue, control the body, this is all dhriti. So Krishna is saying here that this whole thing together, edal kshetram samasena savigaram udahridam, he says, right? So body, Krishna is saying here that there are so many things inside this body, right? And even that icha, desire itself is a big thing, right? But ultimately, all of these things, dhriti, chetana, and icha, dvesham, sukham, dukham, and all the other things he spoke in the previous verse, Krishna says, all of them together is tied to one post called ahangaram. Ahangaram is the pivot, you can say, on which this is all tied up together, right? So Krishna's expression of this body is like that. Krishna is not seeing the body like the way our medical science is seeing the body. Krishna sees, this is sankhatam. The combination of all these things, right? And so, ahangaram is the pivot. And that ahangaram, which we discussed in the fifth canto, connection between the jadam and the atma. Remember? Sangrashamurti. Yeah. Yeah. Drugdrishyavegam, that comes from there, right? So, this grandhi, ahangaram, which is called, another word is chijjada grandhi, chijjadam, chitta jadam, the one that links between chitta and jadam. That's why it's called chijjada grandhi. Chijjada grandhi is used in the Upanishads and all, the word. Chitta, chitti is the consciousness, bodham. Jadam is the matter. These two things come together, and that's why it's called chijjada grandhi. Chitta, jadam, grandhi. Grandhi means the link between the two, right? So, this chijjada grandhi ahangaram, its expanded form, it expands further. And that is how this icha, dvesham, sukham, dukham, sanghadam, dhriti, all these are expanded forms of that, right? So, chijjada grandhi, that's a word used in the Upanishads, right? Chijjada grandhi has this icha shakti. Ichha Shakti comes from that, right? And instead of worrying about what Krishna is saying here, think about yourself with all these things. Analyze yourself with these things. And then you will find it interesting. It's all making more sense then. Rather than falsely accepting something that the science says, look at what Krishna is saying, and then look at yourself. That's the best way to do, right? And you can see there, they are all working together. With this background, if you look at it, yeah? For example, how desires comes inside, right? You know these advertisements that comes in the billboards, and then in the Facebook, and in the Instagram, wherever you are accessing things, you notice that you are watching YouTube, suddenly in between, someone comes in and then tells you something, right? It's very difficult to ignore it because you want to hear further and you are hearing that and you are focused on that. In between this one comes, the advertisement, right? You know what I'm saying, isn't it? Because you are all going through it daily, every daily. When it comes like that, right? First time you deliberately try to ignore it, right? But then it keeps coming back again and again and again. After a few times, without your knowledge, it's gone inside. Without you are conscious of that. Because you have seen it many times in between, right? So, once it has gone inside, then say you are driving the car and you are passing through Argos or some company like that, or Amazon, or whatever it is, or something, it has come to your mind, why not order that? You think like that. Straight away you just think that. You look at the price and you say, yeah, it's affordable, why not? Give it a try. And the desire comes, right? And at that time, the buddhi cooperates with the ahankaram. Cooperates with the ahankaram, right? And buddhi is telling you that it costs a lot of money. Is it necessary to spend that much? Right? What do I need it for? Buddhi is saying this from inside, right? But this thing called Icha inside, which is more powerful, right? It says to him, no, you want it, why not? So there is a conflict there between buddhi and Icha. Buddhi is saying one thing, Icha is saying, no, we should have it, right? So, in this way, in this discussion between buddhi and Icha, there are other forces operating there. For example, dambham, darpam, all such things, right? Manam. In other words, that you, when you are analyzing it, right, even though it is expensive, you think the benefit of having it in the society, you are, it is important to have it, right? And you start analyzing whether it is fits you or suitable for you, and various things, your status in the society and things like that. For example, while buying a car, you can see the purpose of the car is that you want to get from A to B. That's all it is, right? But then all these big car manufacturers, they produce different types, models and all that. And then you get confused, which one should I go for, right? And so there you look at the society and start thinking that if I have a Range Rover or one of those modern electric cars and things like that, how the society will say, oh, he drives this car. People will say like that. And you feel your vanity gets affected like that, right? So basically the car salesman has played on your vanity. He's played on your vanity, right? So even though the purpose what you need car for could have been done by a smaller car or a cheaper one, but because when you went to the car showroom and you spoke to the car salesman, the salesman convinced you need this one. This is the one what you need really, and ultimately you have taken it from him, right? And you know when you bought it that it is a lot of money and it will affect your budget. But still you went for that. Yeah. So this power, you can see the Icha, how inside this kshetram, how the Icha works, right? So Icha won rather than your buddhi. Buddhi loses all the time. Icha wins, right? So similarly, you can see in many instances in life, if you analyze, you have to look at yourself, everything what you have done in your own life. And then you will analyze yourself. Krishna is saying, that is how you study this body. Don't study the body simply as a five material, simply as a gross body and think that that is a body. That's misunderstanding. He's saying that. Right? Then you got married and afterwards some misunderstanding happened with the wife. Right? Sometimes arguments and heated discussions, everything happened. Right? Dvesham comes. Hate develops inside. And that all that attraction and attachment is all gone. And then it is just a question of whether I can live with her or not. Or she is also thinking, can I live with this man for the rest of the life? It becomes like that. Later on, it comes after a few years. It all changes. The way it started was different. But this over years, how things developed later is totally different. Right? So so many problems comes and then develops dvesham inside, dukkham comes, right? And some experiences in life happened in that way, right? So, if you have got sukham from married life, then you will have ragam towards that partner. If you have got sukham from married life, you will have ragam towards a partner, attachment, right? These four things, Icha, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukham, all these things, if you just sit down and watch TV every day, you will get it. Without doing anything. If you just watch TV, right? So, naturally, these entertainment business industry is like that. They will create these emotions inside you. And gradually you will see within yourself ragadvesham developing. You like somebody who is behaving in a way you like in the movie or in the serial, whatever it is. And you don't like someone whose behavior is different, which you don't like it, dvesham, towards him, right? So if this entertainment media, like this television and so many other things, right? If this was not there, imagine it wasn't not there, then ragadvesham will only happen if something happens in family life. You see, normally, so many members in the family living together, right? So mutually there will be some respect and some attachment, but at the same time there could be disagreements. And that disagreements can become dvesham later. It keeps in your mind growing that he or she didn't act properly towards me, didn't like me, behaved in a wrong way, and things, and it creates dvesham inside. But the thing is that in family life this will only happen very, it can happen, but it is not a continuous process. Whereas in television, day after day after day, they are showing this to you, the serials, right? And you are getting involved in the family problems of so many people through television. That's what television does, isn't it? All these serials and behavior of different types of people, right? And that means you are experiencing Ichha, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukkham of not only what you have your own from your own home, but you are also taking it from others' places, others' life, right? So, that sankharam, the combined together, right? And this all together with the body, chedana, and the energy behind that, and then the up and down of prana and working within us, right? And so, as I said before, that sometimes without your own knowledge, you feel very enthusiastic to do things. And you want to know things, and you want to read things, you want to understand things. And you become curious to find out many things. And some other time, no interest at all. Leave everything behind, right? So this enthusiasm and this tiredness, all these things, without any reason, it's happening inside us, in kshetram, right? So they are all movement inside the kshetram. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu chetana rupa samsthita namastase 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 namonama. You will see in that prayers, chetana is spoken there. Chetana is this thing, what you are happening within you without your knowledge. Why it happens, don't know. It happens, but it happens, right? So this chetana also is within the prakriti, right? And Krishna is saying, all of this is gross, stulam. All of this is gross, right? Like you can see our energy level, sometimes you feel able to do things, and sometimes you're very depressed altogether, right? So, both of them are part of kshetram. It's happening in the kshetram. And sometimes, for some reason, everything gets drained out, right? And then, for some reason, it all gets replenished later. How does that happen, right? So, you can see here that in daily life, you look at yourself. You don't have to look at others. You look at yourself and see how your body is responding to all these things. When I say body, means all these things together. That is why these two verses are important to understand the body. Fifth and the sixth verse. Mahabhudani ahangaram buddhi avyaktam evacha indriyane deshaikam ja panchajendriya gocharam iccha dvesha sukham dukham sanghatas chedana dhriti edal kshetram samasena savigaram udahridam. Right? So, Krishna has said all these things, and then he said that sometimes you feel completely drained out energy-wise, no mood, completely finished, exhausted. And sometimes you don't know where this energy is coming from. You get very enthusiastic, you want to sort out the world in a mood like that, right? So samasena savigaram udahagam, right? So all these things Krishna has said there, that the instruments, he is saying here, the instruments, right? And this is all gross. Ahangaro mahabhuta karanam, aham pratyaya lakshanam, ahangara karanam, buddhi adhyavasaya lakshanam, tal karanam avyaktam, evacha navyaktam, avyagratam ishvara shakti mama maya durateya. So, all these are the instruments in us. These are all instruments, right? So, Icha, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukkham, Sanghadam, Chedana, Dradi. So Kshetram. Rather than calling this body, better to call it as Kshetram. This is the field. Remember what I mentioned last class? This field is the one where all the seeds what we have created before, this is the field where these seeds have to sprout. In the form of vasanas, what we have created in previous lifetimes, they are the seeds. Those seeds are inside. And this is the field in which those seeds will germinate and plants will come out from this body. That's why this is called field, right? So, and this field, savigaram udahridam, Krishna is saying, means that it's constantly changing. That's the nature of this field. Constantly changing. And savigaram, right? So, in this way, savigaram udahridam, you see the last line. Savigaram udahridam is saying here. So, what is the problem because of that? Anything which is savigaram, we got to understand this from Krishna's statement. If there is savigaram, means it can never give you permanent happiness. That's the nature. The body is built like that. Body, mind, senses, then of course the ahankaram, and with all these things together, if you take it as a total package, Krishna is saying this is continuously changing. Because it is continuously changing, it cannot give you permanent happiness. That's the first conclusion from these two verses. Savigaram udahridam is saying that. Yeah. So, anything which is savigaram, savigaram means constantly changing, cannot give you permanent happiness. It is important to know these things because we in ignorance keep on working in this world to become happy. Krishna is saying this is how it is. Don't waste your time. This is manufacturer is saying to us. This is how you are created. Your so-called body and then all the material elements in that. Added to that, this Icha, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukkham, Sanghadam, Chedana, Dhradi, which is all combined together, all centered around this ahangaram. Ahangaram is the pivot. And this package is created in such a way that it will continuously change. It will not stay steady. It will continuously change. That's why it's called a savigaram. And because it is savigaram, it cannot give you happiness permanently. It will always be like this. Happiness, distress. A lot of distress, a lot, sometimes some happiness also in the middle of all that. Right? So, that's why you can see in everything. So, for example, you got a headache, right? You took some paracetamol today. You get cured now. Probably it will stop. But doesn't mean that it won't come back again. It will come back again probably next day or next 2 days after. Right? So, similarly, everything you look at your body like this, there is no permanent solution for anything. You got hungry, you had a meal, right? Temporarily the hunger has gone. After a few hours you're hungry again. That's the way it is, right? So, similarly, I felt very tired, I wanted to sleep, I slept, I felt refreshed. For a few hours I was okay, and then I felt tired again to go back to sleep again. So, what is the use, right? So, similarly, health. Today you're healthy, tomorrow you don't know what will happen. Something else will come. Some doctor said something, you have to do this, you have to do that, or something is going wrong in the body and you just start wondering what's next now going to come. So like this, keeping you in fear all the time. You remember Ekadasham, Krishna what said about body, right? If you remember what he said. Beautiful, Krishna has put it like that. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, body is like this. If you look at the 10th chapter, 11:10. Krishna never changes his opinion. It's always the same about this body, what he has to say, right? He said 29 if you look. Karmani dukkodarkani. Right? Kurvan dehena dai puna. Deham abhajade tatra. Kim sukham martya dharmena. Krishna is saying, I cannot understand that what these people are talking about sukham in this body. What sukham are they getting from this? Kim sukham martya dharmena. For a martya, a human body, what sukham has he got in a package like this? What is he talking about? He says. About us, he's saying that. Kim sukham martya. Karmani dukkodarkani. Two things. One, karmam. Karmam is another thing to study very depth. In depth, you have to study the karmam, to understand karmam, right? Karmam is not desirable. It's not something we like it. We don't want it. To become free, on the other hand, without karmam, you can't live in this world. This is the, we will discuss that in the Bhagavad Gita when we come to that. The understanding of karma, proper understanding of karma, what karma means. Krishna will always say, karmani dukkodarkani. From karma, only what comes is dukkham at the end. And whereas we do karma to become sukham, to get sukham. And at the end, all what you get is dukkham. It doesn't require one's own life. One looks at it, you will see this. That's the end result, right? Karmani dukkodarkani kurvan dehena dai puna deham abhajade tatra kim sukham martya dharmina. Yavalsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatvam atmana nanatvam atmano yaval paratantram tadevahi yavadasyal asudandratvam tavad ishwarado bhayam. All these verses. Edal samvasinam te mukhyanti shujarpidaha. So you will see Krishna's opinion in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam, it's the same thing about our body is concerned, right? So so health is also like that. It will come today, could be gone tomorrow, right? Where is the solution for all these things? Where is the solution, right? No solution. Old age will come and death will come and diseases will come. And people whom you like and whom you are attached to, they will die and go, right? And there is no solution to this problem. There is no solution to these problems. Ichha, dvesha, sukham, dukham. So, what should we do then? If it is like that, what should we do? How do I get out of this situation, right? And from this jail, how can I escape? This is a prison actually. You are put into a situation where all these forces are acting within this body, ichha, dvesham, sukham, dukham, sanghadam, chedana, adhruti, then the ahangaram inside, and then the gross body, or this whole package together is the prison. And in that prison, you are locked up. And you are trying very hard within that prison to become happy, and it is not possible. Krishna is saying, there is no way you can become, because it's created in that way. Because it's continuously changing, right? The only way you can be happy is if you can get free yourself from this whole thing completely, right? So, sometimes to make this example, it's to understand it properly, then a person is standing in a prison, right? And you know the prison has got this iron bar. He's holding on to it. And he's looking it through that outside. And he's telling everybody, help me to get out of this prison house. Holding onto the bar, he is asking everybody. Behind him there is another door to come out of this He is not able to see that. He is seeing that and thinking that this is the only way I can get out, to break the bar and get out from there. He is thinking like that. We are also in the same way. We are thinking that living in this body itself, only I can be happy. There is no other way of happiness in this way, right? So, so he says here that he is not able to see that there is a way out, escape route, right? Even though backside of this room is open, he can escape from that, he is not able to see that. We are stuck in the same way in this body, right? Most of us, we come to this conclusion at the end, well, what can I do? That's life, isn't it? We'll take an approach like that and try to tolerate, and on the other hand, we'll try to fix all the problems what we have, and in this way, our life is over and we're gone from here. So, this is what Krishna is talking about, right? So, if you keep on looking through the bar in front of you and thinking that that's the only way I can escape from here, you are not never going to escape from this, right? Whereas if you look back and see, if you think about it and able to see that there is a way out from this situation. There is an example spoken about it, like, you know this chimney where you make the fire, right? A small bird got inside that chimney from underground, from the bottom it got in. And then it got inside and then he wants to escape from that. And he's trying to fly high, but the chimney is too hollow. He's not able to go out, falls back. Again he gets up and starts flying, thinking that he can escape. Just like the small birds do when they are stuck like that, right? So, it's not able to escape because it has forgotten the route from where it came. It is stuck inside this chimney and it is trying to fly out. But chimney is so tall, after flying to some height, it falls back again. And then he tries again to come out from there, right? So, this is the situation for a jiva. Jiva situation is like that, right? So, jiva is thinking whether he can escape through the nine holes in our body or through senses, right? No, it is not possible. Jiva wants to escape through one of the holes, one of the nine holes, but it's not able to do that. And instead, what the Rishi is saying that, if you are able to control all the nine holes inside this body, and if you are able to find the truth by going inside, you can become free. So, in other words, if you want the freedom from this situation, the only way it can be done is from Kshetram, you should go towards Kshetrajna inside. That's the only way you can do it. Kshetrajna is inside, inside all this. Kshetrajna is inside, Andaryami. So if you go from Kshetram, which is the everything, rest of it, from there to Kshetrajna, you can become free, right? Kshetram is the prison, and these five material elements, Ahangaram, Buddhi, five elements, then its field of activity in the form of Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, all this is happening in the Kshetram, right? So, this Avyaktam, Krishna spoke about that. Buddhir avyaktam evacha, right? So avyaktam begins when you sleep, sleeping time. That's the avyaktam, right? So in the kshetram, whatever you may do at the end, what you do in this kshetram, you are engaged in karma, pravarti, and then you are thinking in the mind, thoughts, and then you sleep. Three things happens. Pravarti, karma, chinda, thoughts, and then sleep. These three things happens, right? With the body you work, with the mind you think, or chittam, and then when they all get dissolved completely, you sleep, right? So, these three things are the processes that happens in Kshetram. Continuously it happens. Right? So, and that is what is called Savikaram Udahridam. Savikaram Udahridam. Right? Is it possible to get out of this Kshetram? Right? And it is in this Kshetram, Jara, Maranam, death, Vyadhi, old age and death. And in this problem, nobody is free from that. Everybody has to go through that. Even great saintly people, they also have to accept it. Jara, Maranam, Vyadhi, three things, right? They also goes to, once their Kshetram also will have the same, our Kshetram also has to have it, right? And so even the rishis, and also even the incarnations also, at some point, they also becomes affected by the sukham dukham of the Kshetram. They also had to experience like that, right? Their body also, for example, Ramaksha Paramsa, Ramana Maharshi, and all that, they also had to go through this suffering of the body. They were not able to become free from that. Bodily suffering, they also, body has to go through those things, right? So, and so one thing Krishna is saying there, that the problems of the body, it is not possible for anybody to eradicate that. Problems with the body, right? If you start thinking that I'll get rid of all my diseases and I'll be comfortable and happy in my life, right? You can dream that, but it is not possible to come to that state, right? You can keep on adjusting it. That's all you can do. Keep adjusting that, right? So, or you can keep it in abeyance for some time with medicines and all. You can keep it in abeyance, right? So, that's all possible. Either you can keep it in abeyance or you can adjust it, some improvement in the situation with the body, right? That's how much you can do with this body, right? And no matter what you do, death will come, old age will come, disease will come, right? And these are all structural problems with the Kshetra. Kshetram has got these problems inherent in the body. It's inherent in the Kshetram, right? You cannot change it. It is manufactured that way, right? And so we should look at the body with this background, what Krishna has spoken, and understand this body in that way. Never to think again that this body, I will be comfortable. That thought is behind inside us. Everybody is thinking like that, isn't it? Suppose if I got very sick and I got some medicines and I got cured, you know what thoughts comes to my mind? I'm all right. I'll be all right. You know, I got rid of the disease. I'm cured. It worked for me, the medicine. Krishna says, don't fall into that trap. That's a trap, actually. Again, my ahankaram is telling me that I am in control. No. Savigaram Udahridam, Krishna is saying that. Your body is not created like that. It is meant to keep giving you trouble throughout the life. And finally, without a thank you, it goes. Leaves you and go. Right? So, Krishna's point is here. Study this body very well first. He's saying that. You study this body very well first. With all this what he has spoken in the background. And understand that this body is a source of trouble. It's a source of trouble, right? And so, first thing what Krishna is saying is that this grip of this body on us, which is a very strong grip, it's not. It has got a strong grip on us, this whole Kshetram. So, you have to learn, he says, how to loosen up that grip of the Kshetram on us. How to loosen it. The grip of the Kshetram on us, right? And if you are able to do that, to loosen up the grip of the Kshetram on us, right? Certain qualifications has to come to us for that. How to loosen it, right? And If you cultivate these qualities, what Krishna is going to talk about, right? And if you manage to develop that within, whatever troubles this kshetram is creating for us now, after understood this kshetram, what it is, Krishna's point is, first of all, make sure that this grip of the kshetram on you becomes loosened. In order to loosen it up, he is saying here that if you cultivate these next few verses he's going to talk about, right, you may be able to overcome many of the troubles what the kshetram is creating for you, and this grip of the kshetram on you will slowly start loosening it up, right? And not fully, to quite an extent, you'll become free, right? But in order that, you have to become completely free from the grip of the kshetram, the only way is you have to realize the kshetrajna inside. So, the next few verses he is going to talk about that. That if you cultivate those qualities, you are able to, as much you cultivate that, to that extent, you can become free from the grip of the kshetram. Kshetram is the problem. And kshetram, you have to accept it as Krishna has spoken about the kshetram. Right? Krishna is saying kshetram is like this. Don't expect too much from the kshetram. But that kshetram is holding you very tight within its grip. If you are able to loosen up that grip of the kshetram on you, Krishna says, that to a large extent that connection, that grip will loosen up your that grip on you, and you will feel a lot of relief from that, but totally you won't be able to free yourself in that way. If you want to be completely free from the kshetram, if you want to completely become free from the kshetram, the option what is left is realize the kshetrajna. Get to realize the kshetrajna. So that is how he is saying here. So, the grip of this kshetram monas is so strong. That is why it's important to study the life of Mahatmas, how they handled their kshetram. You see, they because of their deep insight and deep realization inside, they ignore the kshetram to such an extent that provide the very minimum what the kshetram wants. The very minimum what the kshetram wants. And that fully conscious all the time that this is a kshetram. Don't expect from that too much from the body. Right? So, so the thing is that, you see, the problem is this, right? Grasam. Grasam means this grip. Karala grasam. Very strong grip on us of this body, right? It will not allow you to act independently. Body will come in the front and tell you that you have to do things what suits me in that way, right? That is why quite often when you discuss this chapter with people, people will say, oh, you can say all that, but we have to live in this world, don't we? This will be the reaction from the people. Even if they will listen to everything, and then you say, you can say all these things, but we have to live in this world, don't we? That means the body won over you. You couldn't make any decision. The body made the decision. Body says, oh, you have to live, don't we? That bodily identity, what problems it brings, right? So, and we are saying we have to, when we say we have to live in this world, what do we mean by that? Means how the kshetram will survive then. So basically you want the kshetram to survive forever, and Krishna is saying don't build your hopes on that. It's not going to work. So on the one side, Krishna's advice on the kshetram, what he has spoken, and then he is saying that if you put all your faith in this kshetram and build your castle based on the kshetram, you will be disappointed at the end, right? So, and this kshetram has convinced us very strongly, which is that grip on us, right? that is what's more important than the Kshetrajna. So Krishna is saying that as much as possible, the qualities what he's going to talk about now, if you cultivate them, and as much as possible to the extent one can loosen that grip, to that extent you become qualified for self-realization. Right? And that is the way to go towards to self-realization. You'll become more agreeable that way. Whereas if inside, if I'm very strongly connected to my kshetram, and then I want to know kshetrajna, Krishna says it won't happen. It is not possible. Right? So, those qualities, what Krishna is going to say now, which one should try to cultivate, right? And they are qualities for the different ways it is spoken, for self-realization, and then for the character, but it is mandatory. One should develop them as much as possible. So that is the next few verses. He's going to talk about that. Yeah. So you see, in all these verses, right, when you discuss from the Vedantam aspect, right, there is much more written about it in the Bhashyam, right? But because we are not in that level to discuss it in the way it is written here, right? He explains here what is Sanghadam, what is Sukham, what is Dukham, and similarly Dhridi, and so those things is mentioned there, but we will go into the next few verses, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all those verses are those qualifications, right? Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa chandirarjavam acharyopasanam shaucham stairyam alpavinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankaram evacha janmam mrityujaravyadhi dukkadoshanudarshanam asaktyanabhishvanga putradharagrihadishu nityanjasamachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu maijananyayogena bhakti avyabhicharini Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aradir Janasamsadi Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam Tattva Jnana Artha Darshanam Edal Jnanam Iti Proktam Ajnanam Tadananyatha. Those verses, right? Krishna said so many things, and he said that, Arjuna, all these things what I have spoken about, right, is knowledge. And everything what is not spoken is ignorance. He put a stamp on that. Egal jnanam iti proktam. Ajnanam tadananyatha. Everything else is ignorance, Krishna says. So, it's important, those verses, yeah? So, so after talking about the kshetram, Krishna has talking about the jnana sadhana, what one should do to become free from the kshetram, right? Out of his compassion, he is taking a step by step, holding our hand. That is this step by step thing what he is talking about. Amanitvam adambitvam onwards, right? So, the next few verses is the sadhana process, adhyatma sadhana, right? What you require for the sadhana and what you have to do for the sadhana or the jnana sadhana, that is these verses. These verses are referring to that, right? So, worthwhile, at least even if you don't take it, follow it in life, to remember those verses is good. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa chandirarjavam acharyopasanam shaucham stairyam atmavinigraha. First qualification is saying that. Right? So, if you look at Mahatma's life, like Swami Ramadutta, Vivekananda, and many other great souls like that, you will see these things in them, in their life, right? So, Krishna spoke about Kshetram and Kshetrajna so far, is it not? Kshetram and Kshetrajna, right? And similarly, Idam Shariram Kaundeya Kshetram Iti Abhidiyade. He began like that, right? From Shariram to Shariri. Shariri is the one who is dwelling inside, right? In other words, our Swarupam. That is the indication from the first two verses, right? So, Shariram is Kshetram, and the Andaryami inside who is present is the Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna is same as Atma. Kshetrajna is same as Atma. So, Kshetram, Krishna has spoken more, and Kshetrajna, he has spoken about its presence, right? So, you saw here, Panchabhutam, five material elements, Ahangaram, Buddhi, Avyaktam, so many things he said. Then he said, Icha, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukham, Sangalpam, and Sukham, Dukham, all this is all for the Kshetram, he said, right? And all these things combined together, Sankharam, Krishna called it as all these package, completely together. And he also included Chaitanya and Dhridi, what we have seen that before, right? So, Kshetram, he spoke about in Samasam, and in summary, right? And we saw what is there in the Kshetram, what is all present in the Kshetram, right? And we also heard from Krishna that there is a Kshetrajna inside the Kshetram. And he told us to go from Kshetram to Kshetrajna. That far he has spoken so far, right? And so it is not good enough if you just see the Kshetram and study the Kshetram. So, there is a Ramatirtha story, this is. Swami Ramatirtha, he says this, right? So, one day he purchased a lot of sweets and distributed to people. So somebody asked him that, why are you distributing the sweets? He said, my car got stolen, he said. And there's no idea where the car has gone, he said. So I'm just feeling happy about that, and that's why I'm distributing. And so, this is, you should, why you distribute sweets for that, for the car is stolen? Why are you celebrating it, he said. I couldn't understand, people could not understand. Ramchandra says to them, thank God, I was not inside the car. Suppose I was also there and the car was stolen, then I won't be there, he said. So, if the car is lost, okay, let's go, let it go. But if the person also gone, then what's good, what good is it, he said, right? So, similarly, we get to know the Kshetram, but we didn't think about the Kshetrajna any time. Whole life we spend on studying Kshetram, right? So, that knowledge, just knowing only about the Kshetram, Kshetram, another word used is Shavam, dead body, right? And that knowledge, that on a physical science or the material science, right, that is because our science is dependent on this physical science, on a physical platform, and also to some extent the Manashastram, they call it, the psychology, right? So this psychology and physiology, what we are studying, the physical aspects of this body, these two things will always remain incomplete. It will never become perfect, because they are imperfect by creation itself. You know what I mean? Science is doing research on psychology, as well as on the gross body, is it not? Continuously they are doing, writing papers and research and big companies, endlessly it's going on, never coming to an end. And there's more money invested in the research, they say. Krishna is saying, these two planes, physical body and the mind, these two things, will always remain, because they are part of the kshetram, they will never become perfect. And therefore your research will continue forever. You can keep on researching for many, many generations to come. And every time you will find some new things happening. That's the nature of this body. Yeah. And therefore, because you have not come to the point that this body, gross body and the mind, and behind these two things, there is a power which is controlling them. You are not able to connect with that. You are totally absorbed in this body as well as in the mind, and trying to keep doing research with these two things, right? Instead of giving any attention to Antaryami, who is controlling these two things. Antaryami is continuously controlling these two things, right? In everybody's case. And that is why we are always bewildered by this body. Because control is somewhere else. Antaryami is controlling it. And we are trying to sort it out in our way, our own way, right? And it's not working. And finally, what happens? We give up. And we gone then. So whole ways, life wasted working on this kshetra. Krishna says, don't do that. Because you have wasted your opportunity. If you do something with kshetrajna, kshetrajna is permanent. And if you can make a connection with kshetrajna, then you will get some benefit out of this life. Because kshetrajnam is purnam, perfect. Kshetram is totally imperfect, apurnam it is. If you play with apurnam, imperfect thing, and waste all your time in the apurnam, imperfect thing, you will lose your opportunity to study the, understand the kshetrajna or purna vastu inside, right? So all the research what is happening in the modern world is on this apurna vastu, imperfect thing called kshetram. Therefore, that is why it never comes to an end. That is, how long do you want to research with this body? And nothing has changed. People are still dying. Disease is still coming. And you are still hoping against hope that one day it will all become perfect. And all these big multinational companies, you know, the ones who manufacture all the drugs and medicines and all that, they'll, if you say any problems, they'll come up with something new. There'll be something always ready for you to use. And then you try this for a few years, it's not working. I've seen that with cancer. There was a tablet called tamoxifen. They were giving that this is the end of all problems. Cancer is finished, now gone. Now tamoxifen is not even used now. Mostly some other new things have come into the cancer treatment, right? So whom do you say all this? Why you wasted all our lifetime doing this? Because the company who manufactured tamoxifen, they made a lot of money out of it. And then now they've moved on to the next phase of doing research with something else. And they'll come up with something. And cancer, people are still dying. People are still getting cancer and they're dying. Who is right? Krishna is right or the multinational is right? Krishna is saying to us, look, I have created it like this. So this is why the problem is this, that the other side has gone too much into our head. And we are now finding it difficult to agree with Krishna, what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying kshetram is like that. Whatever research you want to do, you wasting your time on this. That's the important point, right? So first Krishna showed us what is imperfect, apurna. That is kshetram, right? Which includes the mind, everything, right? And because Icha, dvesham, sukham, dukkham, that's all in the mind, right? And Icha, he spoke about beginning, then desires, right? So Buddha, our Lord Buddha, he also performed penances for 12 years. And then finally he also said the same thing about this body, what Krishna is saying, right? He said that all distress is coming in life because of desire, the root cause of all that, right? And same thing what Pingala said, Ashahi Paramam Dukkham. Remember? Ekadasham. Yeah, Ashahi Paramam Dukkham. Asha or desire, as long as we have it inside, you can expect distress in life, right? So Asha or desire means, it's not only the gross desires, right? Gross desires, right? For example, in a subtle level, you will develop desires, different kinds of desires. For example, subtle level you can observe in people. They also are not conscious of that. They want name and fame in the world. Want to be known. Others should know that they are very important people in this world. When you look at all these Facebook and all that, constantly they will give you something every day so that you realize they are very important. Because basically the underlying thing is they want name and fame, recognition in the world, right? So similarly, desire for wealth, this is all in the manomandalam, not in the shariram, gross body. In the platform of the mind, these desires come, name and fame, recognition. Like, you know, like our Trump is saying, I didn't get my Nobel Prize. What worth living in this world without a Nobel Prize? So he is obsessed with that. And it's gone into his head so much. He keeps saying this and shamelessly keeps on repeating this to the world. So where is it coming from? It's coming from the mind. That desire for recognition in the world. I'm somebody important in this world. So, but Krishna has completely smashed the whole thing by talking about Kshetram, right? Similarly, sense gratification, I want all this sense gratification in this world. Where is all this coming from? From the mind, right? And if you talk about it in a much more subtle level, right? Much more subtle level, even our breathing process, what is happening inside us, right, is also because of desire. Icha. The word icha, Krishna has used there. Right? Icha is behind this breathing. Right? Because Icha Shakti, that power, Icha Shakti, its gross form is the mind. Right? And mind's gross form is the gross body. You get that? Gross body has come from the mind. Which science is teaching you these things today? And rishis have everywhere spoken this, that the gross body has come from the mind. All the vasanas inside the mind. So when the gross body comes, we need to understand that before this gross body was formed, a lot of activities have happened behind the scene. So Icha Shakti, that Icha Shakti, right? And when it has become a gross form, and that is how creation happened. So first desire came, and then Icha. Icha means desire. And from that Sangalpam comes. Sangalpam means your bhavana, imagination, right? And from that Sangalpam, creation came. Icha, ragam, dvesham, sukham, dukham. So what you like, if it comes, then sukham. If what you don't like, if it comes, then dukham, right? And Krishna spoke all these things. He combined it all together as a part of Kshetram, right? So you'd see about Kshetram what Krishna has to say and see what our understanding of the body is. Yeah, we are not able to connect with these subtle things with this gross body. Whereas Krishna is saying all those subtle things are more important than the gross body, because the subtle things are behind the scene doing the work. And the gross body is only an outlet for that to come out, right? So, after saying that, he said, that after saying all these things, he said, this is a prison. This Kshetram is a prison, right? And what we have to, people have to think about is there any way of getting out of this prison, from this jail, right? And that is the most important thing. And if you hear that, what Krishna's point is, right here, it is beneficial in the sense that Kshetram, which is this body, is a Upadhi, and so it's Upadhi, right? Upadhi means gross body, the mind, the intelligence, all these things are Upadhi, right? And thinking about the Upadhi and analyzing the Upadhi and the problems that can come from the Upadhi, one should analyze that, he says, right? And Krishna has spoken all that, what the problems can happen from the Upadhi, right? And Krishna is going to talk about it again in the next verses. In the 8th verse, he will say, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshana Darshanam. All those problems are for the Upadhi, not for the Kshetrajna. It's for the Upadhi, right? So, to the extent you identify with this Kshetram, to that extent, the distress will affect you. The suffering. The suffering, you will feel the suffering depending upon the degree of identification with the Kshetram. Identification with the Kshetram, right? And nobody can escape from that. So if you ask a question, like, for example, say, Ramana Maharshi's case or Paramahamsa's case, in their case, they also had all the problems with the Upadhi. But because the identification was not there with the body, they become free from that. Therefore, they were not, even though they also got the same problem with the Kshetram. They have got cancer, they got all sorts of problems, like everybody else has got. But because the identification was not there, they didn't feel the suffering so much. That is their success. And that is the route for everybody to go through, right? How to become free from this identification, right? There was a mother who had her son is a doctor, a specialist in something, right? Daughter also is a doctor. And so she got cancer. And son-in-law was a cancer specialist. What could he do? Right? So they couldn't notice it, that the cancer was there in the body. Only at a later stage they realized that it was cancer. So son-in-law was a specialist in the cancer and daughter was a doctor. In spite of that, when she got the cancer, nobody could notice it. It happened that way. So what I'm saying is, even the knowledge what we have in life cannot protect us when things happen like that, right? It particularly in relationship with this body, right? And so with that knowledge, with this kind of knowledge what we have got now, we won't be able to escape from the problems, right? In fact, Buddha was saying this. You know, Buddha got so frightened in life, when that is how he became Buddha, right? Buddha has got two names also because of that, how he got frightened. One is called Shakyasimha and other one is called Bhavabhiru. These are the two titles given to Buddha, right? So, on one side, he is called a Simham, lion. On the other side, he is called so fearful about everything, right? So, Bhavabhiru means he got frightened because of repeated birth and death. It frightened him so much that he had to accept another body. And then after seeing this material existence, right, he was able to give up everything, even though he had a lot of wealth and lot of facilities in life, right? So in order to realize the truth, you have to be fearful about things what we should be fearful of, like this body and its performance of this body. And on the other, and to find out the truth, we have to be very determined for that. So these two things. We have to be fearful about the body, because body, nature, we should understand what it is like, not to put the faith and trust in this body. And similarly, in order to realize the truth, the self, we have to be determined for that, right? So somebody asked Buddha, why have you thrown away your throne, threw it away, and came to beg for bhiksha like that, right? Why don't you live in the palace comfortably with the family and all? Buddha says to him, I also like it, staying in the palace and living comfortably, but I know I am in a trap there. For the reason he's saying that, when I was living there, I was enjoying it, and I would have stayed there, but, he said, yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet, yadi ishta viyoga bhayam na bhavet, yadi sarva anitya bhayam na bhavet, yadi janma kasya ratir na bhavet. This was his answer. Very famous answer, what he has given, right? Yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Can you guarantee me that there will be no death or birth again? If it is not happening, yadi ishta viyoga bhayam na bhavet. My wife, children, all the family, will they stay with me forever or will they leave me? Yadi sarvam anitya bhayam na bhavet. When I see everywhere everything is so temporary, yadi janma kasya ratir na bhavet. And in the middle of all that, you are asking me to be happy. This is what Buddha answered that, right? So you cannot have radhi or happiness in a situation like this. This is the reality of that, right? So for some time you may feel that you are happy in life with the job, with the family, with the way of life, right? But Buddha is saying, this is not what I have seen. He says, that all around when I looked, there is only suffering, distress, death, disease, things like that. And he asked the question himself, is there any way of escaping from that, right? So, intelligent person will think like that, and he will feel fearful about this material life itself, right? And he will find some way to find out the truth. Is there any way of escaping from this situation? So, and that is what you will find in the Bhagavatam. You remember when Vidura went to see Dhritarashtra in the first canto, and there he is saying to him that the Yasvakal Parado Veham. First canto, 13th chapter, 26th verse. Yasvakal parado veha jata nurvedam atmavan hridi krutva harim gehal pravrajayelsa narottama. Who is saying this? Vidura is saying to Dhritarashtra that you lost 100 of your children in this war, right? Mahabharata war. 100 children gone, right? Not only that, even senior people, brothers, relations, they all left Bhishma and personalities like that, right? And people whom you thought were your enemies, you are now living and they are feeding you. At their cost you are living now in this world, right? And they are bringing you breakfast, lunch and dinner, and you are happily eating that. and you try to kill them. And this is your situation now, right? And that is when Vidura got the shock of his life, seeing the situation with Dhritarashtra. Is it not? You know, it's famous in the Bharatam. That a man, Dhritarashtra, has fallen into this situation, right? So, how much distress has he seen in his life, Dhritarashtra, right? He has seen so much death, so much war, fighting, killing each other, right? And Vidura says there, look at his desire to live still, after all this, what has happened, right? And he says to him that the... Vidura says there that the... Aho mahiyasi jandor jividasha yaya bhavan bhima avarjitam pindam adate grihapalaval. Vidura basically called him a dog. Dog is like that, isn't it? You give some food, it will come and wag its tail. And it will be loyal to you whole life. That's all the dog wants. And you have come to that state now. He's saying to Dhritarashtra that Bhimapa Varjidam Pindam Adate Grihapalaval. Right? He's saying, this food what Bhima is giving to you, breakfast, lunch or dinner, is like Pindam, he says. Right? And he doesn't call it as food, breakfast, or he says Pindam. Pindam means what you give it to forefathers in the rituals. Right? So in spite of all this, Vairagyam has not come in life. So Vairagyam one has to develop within oneself by thinking about it, about life. Right? That's expected from us. Krishna's point is like that. This Vairagyam should come within ourselves by our own analysis of life and develop that detachment from this world. Right? If you can't do it, otherwise at least it should come to you from others, listening to others, right? Before old age comes, and before this body leaves us, internally, we should leave the body. That's the most important thing. Old age comes, and before the body leaves us, internally, we should be able to leave the body, right? Just like they give the example, like the snake leaves its cover skin, yeah? The same way, right? Ahi nirvairi, Upanishad says so. Upanishad says that, right? That means able to disconnect from the body internally before death comes, right? On a bodily level, there is no solution to the problem. To think that this body I can fix it. This is the madness in our head, telling us all the time, something I can do with the body. And it's gone and on and on and on, day is gone, one day gone. You're gone. So, I've invested all my energy in trying to fix something which cannot be fixed. So, you will see this. All great devotees have spoken this in their, you know, in their writings. Melputtur said this also, that if you look into Narayaniyam, you'll find this. In every chapter, he finishes like this, that please cure my disease. He keep on saying this end of every chapter. The last line, if you look, he will say like that, please cure my disease. He's praying to Krishna because he has got arthritis. He was suffering heavily from that, right? Then, ultimately, he says that my problem is not the body actually. Its bodily identity is my problem. So there is one famous verse in Narayaniyam which says that hi me deha moham. This deha moham, this attachment to the body, give me that freedom from attachment to the body. Rather than, till then he was asking, this is right up to 19th chapter or something, or to 100 chapters, till 19th chapter he was asking for freedom from the disease. But then he is saying to Krishna that I don't want this freedom from the disease. What I want is freedom from the body, identification with the body. Tejana pora puradishayal pramaheto gehe vitte kalatra adishu vivashadam tulparam vismarandi. He's saying that this body, what has it done to me? He's analyzing himself. Gehe, home, vitte, money, kalatram, wife, putram, children. I got stuck with them. That's all what has happened. Gehe, vitte, kalatra, adishuya, tulpadam, tulpadam, vismarandi. Because of that, what happened? I've forgotten you. Tulpadam, vismarandi. Swayam, mani, shunuva. And what is this body does at the end? It is only food for the dogs and the animals. It's their food, this body is. So ampradocha akshe karanam tub jihwagre vikarshandi avashamata ida kopinatwal padabje, he said. He said this body, what it has done is, it is meant for food for others. For animals will eat, or it'll agni will eat, fire will eat, whatever it may be. The body is going to go one day in that way. And all these senses, which is in the part of this body, five senses, yeah, tokka, jikwa, ears, eyes, all these things, completely kept me busy whole life, avashamadaida, but they never taught me how to think about you, how to come back to you. They never gave me any support for that. He's talking about his own senses, he said. Avashamadaida kobina twel padabje. Nobody brought me back to you. Right? This deham, body, right? This identification with that body, if we become free from that, does not mean that you have to give up the body straight away, right? Because you cannot give up this body. But internally, this connection with the body has to be broken, right? And strictly speaking, we don't have any connection with the body. This is another interesting thing. It's only in our subtle body, an identification only. Actually, our identity is spiritual. We are spiritual entities. And spirit has nothing to do with this body, right? So, that is why, strictly speaking, we have no connection with the body, but this bodily identification is very strong, right? And so, really, there is no connection with the body for us, right? What we have got is identification. We have no connection with it as such, with the body. We have no connection with it, right? But what we have got is identification, right? And so, people use this word, sharira bodham, bodham, right? Actually, it is a wrong usage. Bodham, bodham means consciousness, awareness inside, does not know the body. You see, our awareness is not in the bodham. You can see yourself this, right? That I deal in this, work, live in this world, thinking that I am this body. Actually, I have no connection with the body, but in a misunderstanding what is inside me, I am thinking I am this body, and on that concept I am doing all the vyavaharam in this world. Isn't it? All transactions in this world. When the body goes away, then you realize that I had nothing to do with this body at that point, right? Body doesn't have consciousness, right? And body never say that I know something. Body is a dead matter, it is. But the me inside, the real me, Andaryami inside, consciousness inside, right? If you analyze your body part by part, you can see that, right? Now, no part of your body will say that that's me. Hand won't say, legs won't say, stomach won't say, head won't say, right? So, suppose my hand is broken. Suppose somebody cut off my hand, taken a part out of that, right? The hand won't say that I am existing. Hand won't say on its own. Is it not? It's like any other thing, like this watch or this bottle, piece of hand will lie there. It has nothing to do with me at that time, right? And similarly, if you pinch that hand which is separated from you, it won't feel any pain. It won't feel any pain, right? You can take that and burn it also, nothing will happen, right? Same thing with the leg, if you cut it off and throw it in the fire, nothing will happen, right? Even though if you break your part from your body, your bottom inside, awareness or consciousness, that doesn't break. Body will break, you can break it. But the awareness or consciousness inside, you can't break it. It's always the same. When you were small, when you grew up, when the old age, all the time, it's the same, right? So, what does that mean? It means that the that experience inside of you, I am, that experience, right? It doesn't have any connection with the body. Different parts of the body. It doesn't have any connection, right? When it is present inside, you are identifying with the body and thinking that that's what you are. And that's what is causing the problem, right? Just like when we are doing the operations on the heart, right? For a short period of time, they stop the functioning of the heart, able to do the operations, right? And then after the operation is over, they are able to bring you back into action again, to life again, right? Even at that time, where were you then? The bottom, where was the bottom, right? So, just like you have broken away different parts from your body, right? And they were all working without your presence in them. They were without your presence. You are actually separate from them all the time, right? And when you separate these parts, right? And when they stop during the heart operations, right? When they stop the heart for them to do the operation, and then they bring it back again. The life comes back, bottom comes back into the body again, right? So it is working there, right? And you are fixing that parts of the heart, whatever operation you are doing with that, right? You're doing operating it and trying to, you know, make the heart function in proper way, right? So you see the fun, what is happening there? Bottom is not there, and you are repairing that machine inside the heart, whatever you have to do with that, right? And it is still working though. Try to understand the intricacy of the soul, how the soul works, right? You have managed to stop the functioning of the heart, and you are doing the operation on the heart. And after you have done the operation, it comes back into life again, right? It starts working again. So where was the soul then at that time? What was the effect of the soul? Consciousness means soul, right? Bottom, consciousness. What was soul doing with that operation then? Is that not amazing? That soul has to be present in that body, right? And without the soul's consent, nothing can happen there. Without soul's consent, right? So, in a totally unbelievable way, this operation works. And it happens. The surgeon is not aware of the soul or anything. Surgeon has his own procedure, and he follows that. And he does it, and it works. Happens. How it works, he also doesn't know. This is the beauty of that. He also doesn't know how it's working. He doesn't know the soul, but when he is doing, messing around with his heart, whatever operation he was doing, temporarily, the consciousness is not there, But it is able to, he is able to operate that because of that, right? So what, why is he saying all these things is that the awareness inside us, the way the presence of the soul is felt, right, that it is a phenomenon which is difficult to explain, and what we have got is identification only with the body. Soul is always independent. That's the first thing to realize. Soul is totally independent, it is. It is not controlled by the body. Whereas, without his presence, body cannot work. This is the relationship between the soul and the body, right? And because we have this identification with the body, we suffer. Because of that we suffer, right? And it is from that identification that I am this body. Due to that, all problems we have got in life, right? So, so it is from this knowledge that what Krishna has spoken here, that I am not this body. I'm not this body. And from that knowledge only, all the divine sambandha, devi sambandha has come. Right? If I'm thinking I am this body only, right, then there won't be any moral issues anymore. Suppose I'm thinking I'm only this body, then I will say that, say, if I want to steal somebody's purse, what's the problem? What's wrong with it? I will think like that. But because I am there, all divine qualities, divine nature in us, and all the morals what we have got in life is because of this Antaryami inside. Antaryami says, no, don't do that. Suppose Antaryami is not there. If I am this body, nothing will stop me from killing somebody else. I'll think, what's harm if I kill someone? Right? So, all I want is, I want to be happy in my life. So if you die, it doesn't matter to me. What matters is if I can live in this world. That will be the attitude then. Right? So, and that more or less like the Charvaka philosophy. Charvaka says the same way. Right? And he's saying only body is there. There is no thing called a soul. Right? All other things are stories people have created. Right? And therefore he's saying that live comfortably, because the body is the more important thing. Maintaining the body is more important than anything else, right? So he says, even if you beg, borrow or steal, be happy in life. That's most important, right? So therefore, keeping the body comfortable always, that is the Charvaka's philosophy. And because he spoke like that, Charu Vacham Charvakam, that's how that word comes. Charu Vacham means one who can speak things nicely and make you happy that way. Enjoy life and buy a lot of ghee and eat very well and enjoy life, all that things, right? So that means what he speaks, it is very pleasing to hear for anyone, right? So that argument has got its problems, right? It cannot be accepted, right? So till you experience some suffering in life and you start experiencing it, and the body starts showing its true colors. When the body starts showing its true colors, right? Up to that time, you can use Charvaka's agreement, argument. Once your body starts giving trouble, Charvaka philosophy finished there. It cannot go further, right? So that means this body, when it starts showing its true colors, little by little it will come at the end, right? So, he's saying here, gradually, uparamam. Uparamam means, tadat tadashya uparamaha. Mahabharatam also says the same thing. Bhishma says this. Bhishma says that, that little by little, if you are able to, in Shanti Parvam, Bhishma says this, that if you are able to withdraw from the body, right? And the bodily activities, Uparamam. If you are able to do that, he says, you will have Shanti in life, right? So the Shastram, what is required for that, you have to get it from somewhere, wherever it is available, right? From whomever it may be, this knowledge how to withdraw from the body. That is the advice from Bhishma. And at least before death happens, he says, one should learn this art, and then you won't find death very frightening if you do that. You won't find the death frightening, right? So, before death happens, if you have understood what death is, and if you are able to break away from the body, then death won't be an issue at all, right? And this is what, you know, this background is Kathopanishad. When Nachiketas went to Yama, you remember? The story begins like that. Nachiketas goes to Yama, right? And he is asking Yama Dharmaraja, what is death? He asked that question, is it not? What is death? I want to know what death is, he says. And Yama kept on avoiding, not to saying to him that, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, all kinds of things, right? So, if you are able to realize what death is, before death happens to the body, then you won't know that. This problem won't be there. Otherwise, you will have to suffer from that. I'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhaumaha gavadni narvabanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna subanambaram vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Tatra Pida Nimida Smarani Nakala Eda Trishita Vakrava Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Mida Shamiha Janina Nuraga Tanara Bishuni Jena Tarura Bisahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasadahani Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadisha Kamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhaktirahai Dhavitvai Ayi Nandata Nija Kingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavam Budho Kribayatava Bada Pankaja Siddhaduli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shrudharaya Padanam Gadgada Rudhaya Gira Pulagair Nijidam Kada Vabhuta Vannama Grahane Bhavishyadi Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashleshava padaradam binashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam garotuva Yadadadava vidadadulam pado Malprananathasunevana para Sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam Govinda govinda Bhishma says, you can read that in Mahabharatam, it's called Medhavi Upakhyanam. If you read, so many Upakhyanams in Mahabharatam, small episodes. So Medhavi Upakhyanam, if you read, you will find this. Bhishma saying that the before death happens, you have to know the secret of dying. How the secret of death, right? So, one who has learned that, for him death won't be a problem. Bhishma says, one who has learned the secret of death, for him it won't be a problem when the death comes. And you may see this in the Kathopanishad very specifically. Nachiketas meets Yama. Yama is death, isn't it? Yama is death. So Nachiketas is meeting Yama and he's having a conversation with the death. So, it is what you call as kalpanikam. Kalpanikam means that it is a kalpana, it is. It's not, whether you should not ask whether it happened, where did he meet death, and all questions doesn't arise there. Because Upanishads are like that. Higher truths, while explaining to us in a way, particular way, It's spoken in the Kathopanishad that way, right? So, Buddha says, he saw death. Before death came, he saw the death. And that is how what it means, that before death happens, you have experienced a death inside, what it means, right? And one day, we should also see the death before it comes, right? And to understand it easier, actually death is with us all the time. It is traveling with us simultaneously. We are moving around in this world thinking that much later I am going to die one day. That's not a fact. Fact is, death is with us every moment, right? But only thing is, we are not noticing him. He is with us, right? And what Bhagavad Gita is saying is that if you see the death now, which is with you at the moment, and if you are able to transcend the death here now through knowledge and realize the self, then death won't be a problem for you. There's a lot of things to say about this, that we are thinking, you see, because of our identification with the body, we are so deeply absorbed in the body, we think that when the body goes, it is death, we say. When the body goes, right? So, and we are thinking the body is working now, so there is no death for us. That is not the fact. The fact is, the death is already there with us. Slowly it is dying. It is slowly dying, is it not? But we are not conscious of that. So, avidyayam rutyum turtva vidyayam amrutam asnute. This is the word in the Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad says like that. This avidya inside us is the cause of death, right? Vidyayam amrutam asnute. With vidya, you have to come to immortality, right? So, another name of this body in Upanishads is death. Have you seen that any time? That the body is called death. Body itself is death, right? So, only thing is, Ramana Maharshi used to say like this, body is nothing but death dancing, he says. Death is dancing. That's what this body is, right? So, body is another name for death, and it's another name for death. Shariram is another name for death, right? Or you can say, another name of the body is death. So, and death is continuously happening in the body. We are not conscious of that. We, because of our identification with the body, right? Yeah. And also you can notice that a lot of times you're already dead. The body from childhood, boyhood, youthhood. Where is all that body now? That body has completely died and gone. A new body has taken over everywhere, right? Only thing is, we are not conscious of that, right? So, when the childhood changed, boyhood came, right? And then boyhood gone, youthhood came, and the youthhood gone, and old age has come, right? And all the cells that was in this body, in the childhood, they're all gone. New cells have come, and those cells have gone, another fresh sets of cells have come. In this way, body has been continuously changing throughout the life, right? And similarly, our form has also changed. You probably sometimes look at your form when you were a youth, looking very smart, nicely dressed and all. And now you look at it, what happens? Teeth is all gone. Hair is all gone. And so many things have changed in the body, right? Body is not worthwhile looking at it. You don't want to look in the mirror anymore. Because that body, what you thought you were, has gone. It's changed, right? So, similarly, so many things are continuously dying and fresh things are coming, right? When the whole thing gets destroyed and no fresh things comes, that's the end of it. That's the end of it, right? So, and we, in our ignorance, think only death will come at particular day, and we call it as the day when we die. That's what is important for us now, That's how we take it, is it not? When death comes, when I'm packaged into the case and sent to Golders Green, you consider that as a death. No. Death is continuously happening in this body, and also the process is like this. Initially, it is growing. That's why that six changes what's happening into the body is important. How gradual things happening. And that is how you should study the body, not the way we think about it. That six changes, Shat Parinama, what is happening, right? Astitvam, Parinamitvam, Abhakshayam, Nasham, all those things, those six things what's spoken about it, that is what body is. If you look at those six things, you can understand what Prahlada has spoken, the same thing. Otherwise also, that it is a constantly changing thing, this body. Constantly changing, right? It's been, and we are not conscious of that. That's the problem. We are thinking that, oh, now everything is perfect. It will stay perfect like this. If I get sick, I'll take some medicines, everything will be alright. All this avidya is inside us so strongly that we are not able to even understand this body properly. What body is doing, what is happening into the body, right? So all misunderstanding like that. And then one day when the body leaves, it's no more functioning, then we say it's death. No. Death is a constant phenomenon happening in this body right from the beginning to end. So, and we are frightened only about the day when the body completely stops. That's when what we are frightened about, when the body totally stops, right? And so here Krishna is saying this, that is not an issue at all. That is why he spoke that famous verse in the second chapter. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavan. Famous verse, all ISKCON devotees know that verse. Initiated, not initiated, everybody remembers that verse at least. Because for preaching you need that, is it not? So, and finishes there, that's it. After that it ends also there with that verse. Dehinosmin yatha dehe. So I won't say anything. So how from childhood, boyhood came, then youthhood came, old age came, and Jara has come. Similarly, we can say that this body has been going like this, has been what has been going on here, and one day it dropped dead. It lies there, right? And when you think about that, fear comes. One day I'm going to leave this body. The moment you thought. So therefore, the modern trend is don't discuss death, they say. You shouldn't discuss death. Because death is... We don't discuss death, they say. Because it's put people unhappy. Why should we discuss death? This is the most advanced society telling us. Rishis are saying us, you should always discuss death. Nothing but death. Because that's much more important for them. Right? So, and when the death happens, whole thing is forgotten. This body is forgotten completely, right? Why? Because we don't have any connection with the body. That's the reality. Reality is, we don't have any connection with this body, right? And therefore, knowledge is that we don't have any connection with the body, and therefore not to get frightened because of that. But, because identification is so strong, and because there is no knowledge, we get frightened. Yeah. So, there is no necessity to be fearful of the death, because the fear of death, right? When you think about the fear of death will come, and the reason for that is, why we are fearful of death is, the reason for that is, there are a lot of bad qualities in us. Bad qualities, right? And those bad qualities, what it has done is, it has made our identification with the body very strong. Those bad qualities in us. Everybody has that, right? And because those bad qualities are inside us, we are fearful of death. That's what all these verses are driving at. The next 5-6 verses. Right? So because these bad qualities, Durgunam it is called, not good gunam, Durgunam, because of all that Durgunam, it has created a strong connection with the body in us, an identification with the body, and due to that, the fear of death. Due to that, the fear of death. And also, we become fearful of old age. Old age also, right? So, that is why, if you look at Vairagya Shatakam, Bhartrihari wrote this. It's a famous book, right? Vairagya Shatakam. How important it is to develop Vairagyam in life. Yeah? He begins like this, Bhoge Roga Bhayam. How we live in this world with fear all the time. Yeah. So, you thought that I can enjoy life, like everybody says, you should enjoy life. All the time they're telling you, enjoy life. They keep saying that, right? And you think that, oh, you got only one chance. This is your only chance to enjoy life. This is the kind of things what you get from the society, right? Avidya. Society is made of avidya. And if you follow society, you are doomed, finished. So, and when you hear somebody tells you, especially in your youth, somebody tells you, you should enjoy life, you know. It looks very attractive at that time. Now it is not attractive anymore. People are talking about going on cruise, going on all kinds of ways, you know, holidays here, there, everywhere. So much fun everywhere, enjoying life, right? It is a much more attractive option than asking you to do chant Hare Krishna and to say, do some sadhana. No attraction for that. A lot of attraction for the holidays and for the enjoyment, right? So, but when you start doing that, bhogam, roga bhayam, will I get sick in the middle? That fear is also there inside. Bhoge roga bhayam, right? And so you can see, fear is always there inside us, along with our aspirations. We want to enjoy life, but there is something on the inside telling me that if you enjoy too much, you could be in trouble. That fear comes, right? So, look at modern generations now, yeah? By the age of 40, 45, a man is finished. The lifestyle today, I'm saying. You go to working for 12, 14 hours, day and night, working on a computer, or situations like that. By 40, 45, the life is over for him. Because after that, by then, various illnesses start coming into the body. Various illnesses start coming to the body, right? So, maybe you earn a good money and everything, but only you have worked for about 10 years or 15 years, by then, so many diseases and so many problems have come in life. Because in this short period of time, all the energy what you have is completely sucked out from you, from your body, right? So, but only thing is, in this short period of time, you have earned a lot of money. And in that process, right, whatever you had some strength inside, that's all gone. Then you're finished. You don't have any energy after that. A lot of happiness and we get lot kind of diseases by then. You can't remain. 40 is not a very advanced age when you look at it. But by 40, 45, people are practically drained out with life is concerned. And then he is dragging on from there to the end, right? So, because the lifestyle, the way people are living today, right? And similarly, all different types of problems comes into the body. And when you start this happening, you start becoming fearful about death, right? And, but, so this bhogam, sense gratification, bhogavasana, right? There's always there is this fear that there is death, a disease behind. Some disease can come. Young people are fearful now because of this. A lot of young people. They are working very hard in the industry or in the engineering industry or in the IT industry and all that. People are working hard. They are earning very well And there is a lot of sense gratification opportunity because the money is there. But when they go for enjoy the sense gratification, they start seeing within their own circle, people who are about 40, 45, they are getting sick and they are becoming practically energy is all drained out because of that, right? So, bhoge roga bayam, that is what he is saying that, Bhartahari is saying that, right? Then, what else? Some people have this kule chudi bayam. Some people are born from a very good background, aristocratic background, or from culturally very advanced family life, you know, people who are coming from a good cultural background, right? And their worry is that something will happen in their life that their reputation will be affected. That they feel that they will not be given the same reputation what they had in life, right? Kule chudi bayam. Then, suppose you are looking a very beautiful person, you've got a good healthy body, looks very young and beautiful, right? Always a fear that, will I lose my beauty? Will I lose my beauty, right? And this is particularly important these days. In the past, it was not like that. People were not thinking to such an extent now, like people are thinking today, right? Because today, importance is given to how you look. It's so important, isn't it? How you're dressed, how you look, important. So therefore, that industry and feeling that no matter how old I get, still I should remain like the same in the youth. I feel strongly that I should remain young, like I was young. I should remain like that even when I get old. This kind of things, right? And that is what he's saying. Jaraya bhayam. That jara will come and take over. Old age, right? For example, that I'm getting frightened if the hair goes away or the hair goes white. So the kind of things people are doing, unbelievable, some of the things. Now with this AI, have you noticed what they have done? You go and sit there, right? An old man, right? He sits there. And then there is some kind of a machine-like thing, like a disc. It comes and sits on top of your head. This is AI thing it is. But this is what they are saying will happen in the future. This thing comes and sits on your top. And when it comes out, right, you've got such a beautiful hair. And you look, at least you look 20 years younger. Once you put on this wig, what it comes and puts it on your head like this, and then it goes away. AI thing, it goes away, the robot like this. And then you look at the, and they're showing that this will be the future, they're saying. So this is what people are doing. Imagine their brain. This is the kind of people. See what Krishna is saying. Probably Krishna didn't know AI, I think. So if you see that this is what is coming in the future, right? So that is what he's saying. Jaraya bhayam. Fear of death, fear of old age, right? And similarly with the teeth, you know what all you can do nowadays, yeah? So many options you have, provided you can spend money on that to get this done. Similarly, if the skin becomes, you know what you call? The skin becomes very, crinkles and all that happens. There's methods of making this also getting better, right? So, this fear inside, rube jaraya bhayam, my rubam will change. Rubam changes, jara will come, that fear. And for that, all these things, different things. This is whole industry running on these things, right? So, then those who have studied Shastram very well, right? Always a fear that there is somebody else who knows more than you, who has studied Shastram more than you, right? That fear. Shastra vadi bhayam. Then your reputation in the world. Somebody will speak ill of you that you have done so many bad things, right? And you want others should speak nicely of you, high of you, right? That fear. And and another fear, more than anything else, is that the fear of death, which is always with you throughout. As long as you have this body, the fear of death will be with you, right? Will I die one day? That fear, right? Kale kridandal bhayam. This is Bhartahari's famous words, yeah? Kale kridandal bhayam, it says. And then he said, the world is full of bhayam, fear, right? And all these fear, sarvam vastu bhayam, it is for the ajnani. Ajnani means one who is ignorant, for him, right? And for him, vairagyam eva abhayam. Only shelter is vairagyam. If he develops vairagyam, he can become free from this fear. All the different types of fear, what was spoken, right? So, when vairagyam comes towards from the body, when vairagyam comes to him, realizing that I am not this body, and he become detached from the body, vairagyam comes from the body, and vairagyam comes to with everything else attached to this body, body, bodily extensions, home, everything, right? Then he will reach the state of abhayam. That's what Bhartrihari says, that vairagyam eva abhayam. So you will see this word abhayam spoken in many places. Yeah. Abhayam vai janaka prapsosi. When Janaka was instructed by Ashtavakra Maharshi, he says that when Janaka become realized, he says to Janaka, abhayam vai janaka prapsosi, that you have reached the state of abhayam, fearlessness, right? So when we become completely free from being dependent on anything in this world, totally independent, in other words, not dependent on anything, money, wealth, or health, or home, or any comforts, whatever it may be. If you become free from all that, attachment to any of those things, and then you won't feel any distress from that, if when they leave you. You see, all the suffering is due to attachment only. You're attached to so many things in life, home, wealth, family, children, grandchildren, all like this, a list of things. Everywhere our attachment is there. So what Bhartrihari is saying there is that if your attachment has gone away from any of those things, all these things, if it has not gone, you will have fear from all of that in life. That will all create fear inside. So this is the rule to be followed and live in that understanding, that all this attachment to various deha, putra kalatradishu, atma sainyesha salsumi, tesham pramattam nibadhanam, pasyanna vina pasyadi, what Shiva Brahmashi mentioned in the beginning, right? So, if we have attachment anywhere, in any of these things, you can expect fear from that. Fear will be there from that, right? And that can be in the form of an object, any object in this world. It can be in the form of a karmam, activity. Or it can be towards some ideology also, if you get attached to some ideology like that, right? Wherever your attachment is like that, and it can cause fear inside. It will develop fear inside, right? So the principle is that, if your existence is dependent on another object or another vastu, then ashrayam, if your shelter is something which is separate from you, bhayam will be there, fear will be there. And that is how Kavi Maharshi began the Navayogi Samvadam, bhayam dijiyal abhinivesatasyal, ishada vedasya vipareyo smriti. The first words, Kavi Maharshi's Bhagavata Dharma, when he spoke, right? If you think something separately from you existing, and if you are taking shelter of that separately from you, and if you feel an attachment there, then obviously fear will be there. So, bhayam dvidiyal abhinivesha tasyal, that dvidiyam, that dvaidam, if it comes from that, because strictly speaking, you are andaryami is inside, that's your real identity. All other things are peripheral things, superficial things, which we got attached to through mind and body. And they have no reality. Strictly speaking, we have no connection with anything. We is only what we are inside that Antaryami. That's our actual identity. Right? So, what he is saying is, but moment you accept a second entity, and if you start thinking the second entity is necessary for my existence or for my happiness, I will be fearful. Always, I will be fearful. So, recognition of another entity and thinking that without that entity, I won't be happy in my life. Without that entity, I can't live. If these thoughts have come inside me, I will be fearful. I could be live without that. Yeah. So, this principle, first we have to accept. That is why Navayogi said this. The first Navayogi Kavi himself said this in the first verse itself. Bhayam dutiyal abhinivesatasyal. In other words, Kshetrajna is our actual identity, not Kshetram. All the other things are Kshetram. So if your connection is with the Kshetram, you are subjected to fear. Whereas if your connection is only with the Kshetrajna inside, then there is no fear of anything because you are not attached to anything else. That is what he is saying here. So gradually, he is saying here that gradually, to become free from that fear, in order to become that, you have to become free from the grip of the body. Little by little, you have to become free from the grip of the body, right? How will you become free from the grip of the body? If certain qualities, if it develops within us, right? And this connection what we have, connection with the body, right? That is what is called, that connection is called a chit jada grandhi. Remember? Chitta jadam, that grandhi. Chitta is actually our nature, our original identity. Jadam is the body, and the grandhi is the link between the chit and the jadam, right? So, what will happen is, little by little we will realize that this chijjada granthi is the problem, which is connecting us, that is what is to be loosened up, this chijjada granthi, right? And that granthi is the one which is strengthening our ahangaram, ego, ahangaram inside, right? And what it does is that it keeps the ahangaram is not real, you see, it's not a real thing. But it is there, its effect is there on us. And it is that, it is chijjada grandhi, what we call as chijjada grandhi, right? That keeps this ahangaram living, going, right? And it gives strength for your personality, individuality. Personality gets the strength from this chijjada grandhi, right? So, that chijjada grandhi will become loosened, right? And for that, certain qualities are required, right? That means how to become free from the Kshetram, become independent from the Kshetram, and how to become connected to Kshetrajna in that way. What qualifications do you require for that? And that is what the sadhana process, what is being discussed in the next few verses. Beginning from the verse 7. Amanittumadam bitvam ahimsa chandirarjavam acharyopasanam shaujam stairyam alpa vinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankaram evacha janmam mrityujara vyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. So, this is sadhana. These verses are sadhana. The other things what we spoke earlier about devotee, you remember, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, those verses, that's not for sadhana. That has to come from Antaryami inside. So you also have to know which verses is for sadhana. Sadhana means what you should practice daily basis as much as possible. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karunayavacha, that cannot be changed because your vasanas inside will control it strongly. But these things, amanitum adambitum ahimsa shanti rajavam, these verses is jnana sadhana, it is. Jnana sadhana, right? So, amanitum, first one, is talking about First symptom is amanitam. Mana means that we all have an assumed personality. Not our real really we are nothing. But this assumed personality what we have is causing all the problems. I am somebody, I am this, I am that. It is an assumed personality, right? And that means in our imagination there is a personality, our personality, right? And that is called manam. Amanitva means wiping out that personality from inside. That false personality, what we are identifying with, that's called amanitva. Amanitva, right? If you touch that personality, you will feel pain. If you touch that, right? Which we call it as ego, right? I was hurt, sometimes people say. What does that mean? It means I have touched your personality, right? And if you talk about that, I will feel pain. And that is what amanitva means. That's called that feeling is manitva. Amanitva means wiping out that assumed false personality, right? And it is because of that only, you see this varnam dharmam, varnam, I am Brahmana, I am Kshatriya. People are identifying like that, don't they? I am Vaishya, I am Shudra and all that. So, where did that come from? From that assumed personality. Because soul has no Brahmana, no Kshatriya, no Vaishya, no Shudra. Soul has nothing to do with any of these things. But this false identity inside, I am Brahmana, I am Kshatriya, I am Vaishya, I am Shudra, that is the cause, that is manam. And amanitva means freeing from that, becoming free from that, coming from varna. Similarly, in ashramam also, sannyasi feels that I am a sannyasi, I am a grihastha. He is not able to say anything because he feels that he is fallen anyway. So he doesn't say much. He is accepted like that, right? So varnam has got problem, ashram has got problem. Then jati, caste, right? You know, nowadays you can't ask anybody, what's your caste? If I ask, you will be offended by that. And people will question that. But in the olden days, when we were children and all, you could ask people, what's your caste? That was not taken offensive. It was accepted, right? Yeah. There's so many stories about that. Somehow or the other, what happened was, when the, you know, when the generations change, in the society also changes, right? So now the society in India, I'm talking about, here there is no caste anyway, so it doesn't matter. But Indian society, at one time you could ask a person, what's your caste? Just to know where you're coming from. It will reveal a lot of things by asking that question. It will give you a lot of answer from that. Your background is completely covered in that, right? It's just like your. So it's clear after that, once you hear that, right? So, similarly, the job what you do is an assumed personality again, right? And how wealthy you are. Similarly, how beautiful, good-looking you are. How much education you have got. And similarly, your gotram or, you know, the lineage where you come from, right? So, in this way, all these are part of this manam. They are all contribute to the manam in one way or the other. In different people, different things, right? Which causes this manam. So Krishna is saying, amanitvam. To become free from this false assumed personality, right? And the problem is that if you look at yourself, you will see you will be in one of these. Without that, you can't live in this world. That's the way it is. While you are living in this world, you will fall automatically into one of this group. And it will have its effect. So it is a difficult thing, right? And you cannot live in this world, because in the society I'm talking about. Here it's not so much, but Indian society, it is like that. When marriage happens, if it is arranged marriages and all that, they will look at this first. These aspects of what's the background. What caste he is. If a Hindu marries a Muslim or Christian marries a Hindu, or they will look at he is a Christian, he is a Hindu in that way, right? So there is manam in that. I am Hindu. Actually, we are neither Hindu nor Christian nor Muslim. As long as bodily identification is there,
this problem will be there. There is no solution to this. As long as there is bodily identification, we will have problems in this world. That is the conclusion from that. It doesn't matter. For example, in the previous times, they were saying that, oh, because of this caste system only we have problems. Because of that people are fighting, because of the caste system, right? But places where there is no caste system also people are fighting. Where, how do you explain that? For example, Russia and Ukraine. Caste is not a problem there. Same caste. But they are fighting. Similarly, Israelis and Iranians. They don't have a caste. But they are fighting though. Americans fighting with everybody. So where is the caste system? Why are you blaming caste system for that? So whether you have a caste system or no caste system, you will fight in this world. Why? Because the identification with the body. That is fundamental rule. You can't change all these things, right? So Krishna is saying to us that is why when Varnashrama was created, the principle you have to understand behind that. Yeah. So, having said that, he says that this amanit manam, that is from there, this ahankaram gets its strength, right? And when the manam goes away from a person, he becomes shanti, comes to him, right? So, jiva struggles in this world because of this manam. And in order to remove that manam from him and make him free, that is the difficult part. To make ourselves free from the manam, abhimanam, is called abhimanam. That is his amanitam, right? So once this ahankaram goes away, abhimanam goes away, then the jiva is free, right? So one disciple asked a guru, when will I get release from this identity, right? Guru told him, when I die, you will get liberated, he said. That was the answer. Guru said, disciple asked him, when will I get liberated? Guru said, when I die, you will get liberated, he said, right? So, so every day the disciple will come and see the guru. Guru is not dead, he is still there, right? A lot of days have gone like this. He was waiting for the guru to die, right? One day he asked a guru, he says, I don't think I will get liberated in this life because you are still there. He says to him, why is it like that? He said, that you are looking very healthy. He says, there is no sign of you dying and me becoming liberated. He said, and then the guru explained to him that when I said to you, when I die, you will become liberated. That I does not mean me. The I means the aham in you, the ahankaram in you. When that dies, manam. That's referring to the manam. So in you, this ahankaram, in the form that I am, this, I am that. When that ahankaram completely die, at that time, you are liberated straight away. Right? So, so that is what ahankaram is the problem. That ahankaram, amanitam, what it's referring to, right? And so this ahankara kshayam, destroying that ahankaram, is not easy. And that is what's called a vimukti, right? So sometimes in this world, generally in the world, we will talk about others sometimes. Oh, he's very proud. A lot of ahankaram, ego in him, right? Ahankari. It is not in that context it is spoken here, right? We should not think, misunderstand those two things, right? Strictly everybody is ahankari in this world, right? And it is this ahankaram that is keeping this body going. So, this chijjada grandhi or hridaya grandhi, it's the same thing. Hridaya grandhi it is called sometimes. Vidyade hridaya grandhi. Chidyande sarva samshaya. Kshiyande chasya karmani. Bhagavatam beginning itself said. Drushto eva atman ishvare. Upanishad says, drushto eva paravare. It says, right? So, chijjada grandhi, this grandhi, which is causing this hridaya grandhi, which in other words, right, that is ahankaram, and it is there in everybody, right? Sometimes we call it as Ahamkriti or Ahambodham. And Ahamkriti, Ahambodham, Ahankaram, they are all different, right? Ahambodham is consciousness. I am that, right? Because Karam, Ahamkaram, when Karam goes away, it becomes Bodham, Ahambodham. When Ahamkaram goes away, it becomes Ahambodham, right? So, me, in that way, when I am inquiring about that Aham inside, I am inside. So, one day we will realize that it is the Ahambodham, not the Ahamkaram, what is inside, right? Yeah. So Ahamkriti is this Ahankaram. When it goes away, Ahankaram gives us a lot of trouble. Whereas Ahambodham is self-realized state, right? So, our life in this world is centered around this one thing, Ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one that is driving this, right? And all our distress and suffering in this world is this Ahankaram, right? And also in our family life, also problem is this Ahankaram, right? And similarly, even if you look at spiritual institutions, there also problems comes because of this Ahankaram. You can look at it. In spiritual institutions, spiritual leaders, between difference of opinion among them, because of Ahankaram only. Ahankaram has not gone. Ahankaram is still there. Therefore, arguments begin. And then one tries to establish he has got the right understanding, you got the wrong one, in this way, right? So, in life, whether it is material life or spiritual life, the center or the pivot is this Ahankaram. It will control your spiritual life, it will control your material life as well, right? So, he is this entity called Ahankaram. He is the one who is running this whole world, practically speaking, right? And politics also, the same way. The Ahankaram in those people, right? So, Ahankaram, whole world, organizations, everything, he is the actual president of the whole world. He is the real president, right? If he is not there, these things won't happen. And therefore, manam. Krishna is saying that manam, right? Somewhere in life, in something, your abhimanam will be there. Manam will be there, right? And what will happen is, once you have manam towards something, you will get attached to it and you will stick to it. To that, right? And it is a very powerful thing. For example, you can see, and it is so foolish sometimes when you look at it. Somebody, he says, he has got a Palestine flag. Why? That identity with the Palestine, with that flag, right? Similarly, you can say Pakistan flag, Indian flag. All these flags you take, and when did this flag, when was this flag born? Now, after 1947 or 48, is it not? Prior to that, there was no flag. But now, how we get attached to certain things, and you got sticking to it, and our abhimanam gets hurt. When somebody burns your flag, I get very upset. If you burn my flag, right? I get very upset. And then there's a fight, police comes, tear gas, and take them into prison and all. All for what? Because the flag was burned for that. Yeah? So, similarly, and you can see like this, flag is one example. I'm saying, wherever your ahankaram or manam is attached to, if that is touched, you get hurt. You will get hurt, right? So, and if you touch that, I'll get angry, right? So, for example, a brahmana. If I keep talking about brahmanas are useless, they have done this, so many wrong things, this, that, and the other, a brahmana will get angry with me for saying that, right? Because in that brahmana, there is that very subtle level that manam is there in him, right? So, similarly, if you talk about a kshatriya also, somebody, Kshatriya, because he identifies as a Kshatriya. If I criticize the things what he has done as a Kshatriya, then it affects his ego, Ahankara, gets hurt, right? There is no remedy for all these things, right? So this disease, you have to treat inside. It cannot be treated outside, right? There was a great saint, Narayan Guru Swami. He was saying that, he always used to say that if you allow this manam to grow, if you try to destroy it, it keeps growing further. That's the problem with that. Like some trees, if you cut it off, it will grow better in the same way, right? So therefore, the great rishis, they never believed in any reformation. You know, like so many reformation has happened. Where is all, what happened now? So many reformation movement has happened in this world, and it is like that dog's tail coming back again. Nothing happened, right? So rishis never believed in reformation in the society. It's important how the rishis look at the world. Rishis are saying, don't try to reform the world. It won't work. It won't work, right? That means it is not the rishi system of a social reformation. You know how to improve the society, social conditions and all that, right? Because this is where Vedic knowledge is different from others. So many other people have come. You know how many different great personalities appeared in this world to reform the society. Nothing happened. Nothing worked, right? Because in their rishi's view, there is no such thing called a society. Individual exist, right? And only individual exist. They don't think that we are all a group which can be reformed together. They don't believe in that. Individually, you have to improve it, change it, right? So this change has to happen by ourselves within us. This is their method. Their process is like that, right? You have to realize the truth within yourself, not outside in the world, right? So, instead of this rule, what the rishis have instituted, if you bring some other rule, right, what will happen is the person will remain the same. There's so many things to talk about this issue, right? These reformers came and they told them that if you change your, our way of life, you change into our way of life, everything will be perfect. It didn't happen though. Because inside, rishis know very well that his swabhavam inside, you cannot turn it from outside. You got to turn it, change it yourself, and that is not easy thing to do, right? So, if you scratch a little bit, you will know the whole thing comes out again, right? That means his personality will come out easily, right? So, Rishi's point is, rules are meant for individuals, not for the society, right? And it is individual who has to realize the truth, not the society. Society doesn't have to realize the truth, right? So, if individuals didn't realize the truth themselves, then this manam or abhimanam, anger, krodham, dvesham, these things will not leave from the society. Do you understand? If individual is not able to change it, the society will not be able to help very much. You can't change it in a whole society like that. Individual takes the interest, like Krishna is saying in these qualifications. If he individually cultivate them, and individually if he changes his swabhava, then the society will have its benefit. But stress is on the individual, not on the society. That's the point, right? So, in one way or the other, dvesham will come from the society. So, in order all these things to happen, that's why these qualities what Krishna is going to talk about, the individual has to go deep inside to change them. He has to go deep inside, right? And when you start going deep inside within yourself, you will notice that there was an imaginary personality inside you, right, about ourselves. We are having a false impression about ourselves, an imaginary personality, and that is called a jiva. That imaginary personality, what you think you are, is called a jiva. That is not you, really. It's called a jiva, right? And that is ahankaram, the ego. And that is the one which is transmigrating from one body to another. Rebirth. It is happening to that jiva. Not your actual identity as the Antaryami. So you see, the Krishna spoke that in the second chapter very clearly. What's happening to jiva, what happens to Antaryami. That's why second chapter is important, right? So, Atma doesn't take birth, Atma doesn't die. But this individual who is in our imagination existing, which is called a jiva, that personality which is in our imagination, right, he is one who is responsible for rebirth. Not the Antaryami, which is actually our identity, but this assumed personality, which is transmigrating from one body to another. And that develops attachment to things. And that suffers and enjoys. All this is part of that assumed personality, right? The this jiva bhavam, or this assumed personality, you don't have to destroy it because it is not real. Jiva is not a real thing because it has developed with our ahankaram, ego inside. We built it up due to our attachment to different things. It became stronger within everybody. And that's what it is, right? So it is in our imagination only. It is not a real one. The real one is Antaryami inside, right? And it is this imaginary personality that is causing the distress for us in life. All the suffering is because of this. And so because it's not real, there is no point in fighting with it. It's not even real, this ahankaram, right? So it is keeping this imaginary personality in our imagination, right? We have developed this manam. We are talking about the first quality Krishna is talking about, amanito. Yeah? So this manam is centered around this imaginary personality, what we have created, and we think that's what we are. Right? So, and I'm thinking I am that, right? So, so amanitvam means one who doesn't have this jiva bhav, jivatvam is not there, ahankaram is not there, completely gone away from him. So amanitvam, right? One rich person, right, in his house, they invited a Mahatma for Bhiksha, a swan, sannyasi, sadhu you can say, right. They went up to him, the rich person wanted to invite this sannyasi home for Bhiksha, to give him a feast, right. So they asked the Swamiji, shall we bring the car for you to come? Nowadays Swamis will say, why don't you send a helicopter? That's the way nowadays Swamis are, right? Swamis are so shameless now they have become with these business people. And the rich people also play with their ego equally, together. And when you see that, they made a mockery of sannyasa ashrama. Because they don't understand what sannyasa means. If you have to surrender to a wealthy person to maintain your sannyasam, then you are not a sannyasi. You are just a nonsense you are, right? So this is how things have come now. And young people who are seeing this, they think this is sannyasam. That means you are dilly-dallying with all the rich people, attend all their marriages and the parties, and you are blessing them and get their blessing and the money what you want you get from them, supply from them. Is this sannyasam? Where did this sannyasam come from? Shameless they are. People are doing this, right? Because they have no understanding. This is not acceptable from the Vedic point of view, this kind of dealings with the world, for a sannyasi, right? So he's saying here that the so this sannyasi was there. So it's not that everybody is like that. There are people with respect also who understand sannyasam properly, right? So he invited, he said, Swamiji said, no, I'll come on my own. No need to send a car, he said, right? And he came for the, when he was invited, it's a rich man's house, right? He's got gatekeepers and all that, you know, security at the gate. So the Swami came in the normal way, walking there, and his clothes were all old, sannyasi's clothes, right? In the, with the stick in the hand, he walked in there, right? So watchman stopped him. The watchman didn't know. And the wealthy person also has not informed him that somebody is coming like this, right? So he came and the watchman wouldn't let him in. He said, you are just a beggar. Because that's how the society is like that. What I'm saying is how ignorant society is. Society doesn't have any knowledge, isn't it? They just look at your dress and they think that this sannyasi wants he come for begging. That's how he thinks about it. So he stopped him from coming in and sannyasi went back. He didn't go inside that, right? So when he left, right, what happened was that Swamiji left the place and gone away, right? And that day he didn't eat anything because he was going to have bhiksha here. It was not given. He was refused. He went back. Nowadays what he would have done, he would have took his mobile and rang the boss, told him I'm here. And then the message would have come, let him in. And then he was gone. But those days it wasn't there. So he has to go back, right? So, next day, that day was over like that. He didn't turn up, right? And then happened in this incident, right? He didn't organize anywhere else bhiksha that day. So he had to fast. That was all what happened, right? And the wealthy person said that Swami didn't turn up for the bhiksha, right? He went there and so asked him, what happened? You never turned up. He said, I came, but I was sent back. So I left. I didn't come inside, he said. So when he came to know about this, the host who invited him, right? When he went back to the Swamiji and apologized to him for what has happened, right? And brought him. And he came in the same way, like before, right? And he came and received the prasadam, bhiksha. He has received that. And he went back. In the same way he had come, he went back also, right? So this is called amanitum. He was not upset about it. Who? The sannyasi. Was not upset about it. Even though they did wrong things, the wealthy person with his security guard and all that, they did the wrong thing to offend a sannyasi like that. After inviting him, inviting comes and then you send him off from that. He was not affected by that. And that is called amanitum. So this amanitum, Krishna is saying, is the first quality to know what Kshetrajna is. To cultivate this quality, amanitam, right? This is not easy, right? This is not easy. But if it happens, if you are able to do it, you will escape from this problem. If you are able to do it, this amanitam, right? So, if it is possible, right? That means this imaginary personality, what we have got inside us, if you are able to kill that imaginary personality, right? And Altmani Pujyaschar Abhimanaham. That means, if I have this feeling that I am to be worshipped, Pujyam. Pujyam means to be worshipable, right? So people say, you know, Parama Pujya, we say, isn't it? Swamiji is Parama. Pujya means zero, right? But it's also used in another way if it is Parama Pujya means their ahankaram has completely gone away from inside, right? Suppose we have an imaginary personality inside, we will get hurt. Suppose we were invited and we went there in place of that sannyasi. And if they send us back, and if the rich man called us again, we will say, no, I'm not coming. I came once and you sent me off like this. Why should I come to have your food? That is manam, right? But that sannyasi didn't feel that way. He was willing to accept that and go along with that, right? So this Tapavanam Swamiji, Chinmayananda Swamiji's guru, he used to say this, right? Taking bhiksha is good for a good medicine for this manam to go from inside. Because when you go for bhiksha, some people will give you bhiksha. Some people will give you cursing you. Why are you coming for this? Why don't you go and do some work and earn your living instead of begging? Things like that, right? So, if you practice that, Tapavanam Swamiji says there, that even though you are going for bhiksha, and people are saying that you are Paramahamsa and all that, when you go for bhiksha, right? And it is very difficult even for sannyasis to get rid of that ego from inside. People are, you know, when somebody starts saying is Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotra Shada and all the titles, if you put onto the person, he is not feeling that, but you are calling him like this. All these things, right? So gradually what will happen, he will start thinking, I am that. I am a Paramahamsa. But that becomes an Abhimanam itself inside. So getting rid of that is not easy, even for sannyasis, right? Sannyasi was taken, before he took sannyasam, few days before that, he was an ordinary person. Suddenly he took sannyasam, he did that ceremony, everything. And he was given the sannyasa danda and he was given a big name also. And from that day onwards, he's looking at others and others are feeling that he is a sannyasi, Paramahamsa, Parivrajaka Acharya, Ashtottara Shraddha, whatever that is, all the other titles. He's also start thinking, I am all that. On a few days' time, this has happened, right? So, that is what the problem is, difficult to get rid of that. It's a very difficult thing. Sannyasis have it. A lot of it, it's very difficult for them also to become free from that, right? So, in order for this manam to go, there is two sadhanas available, possible, right? When we live in a society, you are living with this manam inside, right? And because in society it is important, isn't it? In society this manam is important. You go into a social occasion, social gathering, how they receive you. It's important for you that you are accepted as a member of the club, elite club, and things like that. You can see this all the time, especially in the karmi field it is big. But spiritual field also it's there. In karmi field it is so big sometimes that the whole media will take over that then. And the media will start discussing about it, right? So, you have to look at the news and then you will see this, how their ego is hurt in different social gatherings, right? So, in spiritual life, right? And so, in material life, that manam will always be there. But in spiritual life, if you want to have shanti, freedom from this, right? And manam has to go. If shanti has to come, manam has to go. One is direct process, yeah? Direct process, that means very conscious of that, and for every moment, you are conscious that your ego is not playing, ego is not playing anytime. And that is what Krishna told Uddhava, Nishtido Mutrido Ve, Bahudeva Pragambida, Shreyaskama, Krishragata, Alpana Alpana Uddhare, before Bhikshu Gita. If you look at that verse, what Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Nishtido Mutrido Ve, even if you give you a kick and passes urine on you, Bahudeva Pragambida, in different ways if he abuses you, Shreyaskama Krishragata, one who wants to realize the truth, Shreyaskama Krishragata, he has to learn how to withdraw from that. Alpana Alpana Uddhare, you have to elevate yourself. So Krishna put that, and he gave Uddhava the example of Bhikshu. Bhikshu's example for us. Bhikshu was very wealthy, but what situation he had to encounter later in his life. So that is one method of dealing with this mana. We will learn all the technology, but when it come to life, we are not able to do anything about it. That is the problem, right? So, who has got this manam? I have got the manam, the jiva, right? And is it for the body? No. Then, somebody is abusing you. Whom are you abusing? You are abusing my body, isn't it? You cannot see me. You are only seeing my body, and you are abusing my body. So, and nobody can abuse me. Me means the real me, which is the consciousness inside. So, because first of all, you can't see me in proper way, right? Then how can you abuse me? Therefore, that's a... So, shariram or body, everybody is abusing you. When somebody is abusing you, actually is abusing your body only, right? And body, it is not me. So, this is one way of getting rid of that manam from inside. So, there are so many stories about it. In Mahatma's life, if you look at this, how they were able to fight this manam. We can only discuss it because we are different. But in their life, how they dealt with it. Pakana's story, Agnihotri is one of the brothers, right? That he was walking and at the same time, very hungry he felt, very hungry he was feeling. So somebody was selling fruits on a small, this one of those trolley-like thing. Loads of bananas he has kept and he was selling them. And he pulls this from one place to another and people come and buy from him. That is his livelihood, that person. So he pushed this trolley and he parked somewhere and suddenly he wanted to have a cup of tea or something. He went to a restaurant, leaving the trolley here with the banana. When he came back, Pakanar could not control his hunger. He was so hungry. He took a couple of bananas and he ate it. Right? And he came by then. And he saw him, Pakanar, having these two bananas from his trolley. He has taken them, right? So, immediately he smacked him, Pakanar. Pakanar was born, Brahmana father, mother was coming from the lowest caste. That is, they are the people who make these baskets. You see, they are different. That time all these were very strong. Now you don't do all. It's all manufactured in China. And it comes, you buy. But them days, these are all in cottage industries, isn't it? In the villages, there are different people do different things. People who weave the clothes, people who make the baskets, and people who do other kind of skilled jobs. Right? The village life is like that. So, when he came back and he saw this Pakanar, he didn't know who Pakanar is and what Pakanar. He only saw that his bananas were stolen. He gave him one or two, smacked him very strongly. So, and then he told everybody else that this fellow has done this. So, how the villagers are, local people, they also joined, gave him whatever they could. And Pakanar accepted all that, whatever they have beaten, right? And then he says to them, give two more, he says. Because I told him not to do it. He's saying about his own body. He says, I told him not to do it. But he still went and done that. So you should give him another couple of more, he said to him, right? So that means he is keeping his body separately from him and treating the body in that way, right? So one who realizes that I am not this body, for him he can do that. But for ordinary people, what will they do? That's difficult, right? So, in this way, keeping the body, in this way, relationship with the body, you can treat the body, right? And they will be able to come to that state like that Swamiji did, who was able to accept the invitation and went the next time and had the meal in the same, without being affected by that. So, but for that, you have to become free from the identification with the body. And it is one way of, Krishna is saying here, helps a person amanitvam, how to develop that amanitvam in a person. These are examples. That's the only way you can explain these things, in looking at people's great personalities, how they practiced this in their life, personal life, and developed this amanitvam within themselves. All those qualities are so important. Amanitvam, what he says here, amanitvam, manino bhavo manitvam, atmanaha shlakhanam, tadabhavaha amanitvam. Amanitvam means that not glorifying oneself. I am so important in this world, to become lower than the lowest, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, isn't it? You know, in the Shishtashtakam, what he is saying? Amanino manadena. Yeah. So without all these things, self-realization is not going to happen, whether you go through Bhakti Margam or Jnana Margam. And these are most important things, not all the rituals what we do. Rituals are, you see, it is like this. People always think, like, ask this question. Question is like this. Oh, I am doing my sadhana every day. An hour in the morning, an hour in the evening. I chant my 16 rounds. I follow regulative principles. I read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam. What more can I do? This is the normal question from the people, isn't it? But I'm not making any progress in spiritual life. People say like that. The answer is this. Your sadhana and all that is something like you're bathing in the morning or bathing in the evening with the soap, washing your body. That's all. That's all how much sadhana can do for you. But understanding shastram and cultivation of this knowledge is required for proper bhakti to develop. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. If we don't accept all these things, what Krishna is saying, these changes won't happen within us. And if the changes don't happen, then you will remain as you are. The day you started spiritual life, it will be like that when you die. It will be the same story. No change would have happened. That's why it's so important. Whatever Krishna has spoken, word by word, you have to start thinking and understanding it. And try the best possible way to bring it into life. It is this implementation in life is more difficult than knowing it from the books. And books can easily teach you a lot of things. And only way to understand that is looking at devotees' life, great personalities, how they changed themselves, how they beat this manitum, amanitum, how they cultivated, right? So, that is, we'll stop with the Samanitvam today. We'll continue tomorrow with Adambitvam, the next one. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.